Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM, and as I always say, now's the time. Train leaves the station. It moves slowly at the beginning. There's time for you to run after it and jump on. At a certain point, it becomes a bullet train, and you'll just get killed if you try to get on this show. That's what happens. So if you went on, all aboard.
And you're saying people can call and talk to us about anything.
Yeah, it's nothing. That. You know what it is? Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Oh, talk to me.
See? Danny's laying his cigarettes out for the day.
Oh, no.
You see, you know when you get a call and you're asleep?
Yeah.
And you're vulnerable?
Yeah.
And you'll pick up the phone and you'll be like, hello? And it'll be like, hi, I'm selling aluminum siding. And you'll be like, oh, for what? And they go, I'm selling for your house. And you go, what time is it? 3:45 in the morning? Oh, are you interested in aluminum siding? I guess.
What is it?
Do you have any coffee? See, now if that call comes at 3:45 in the afternoon and you're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, say, hello? Hi, I'm selling you just hang up. You have your wits about you. You're sharp. You're on the move. We're at that point now where you can sell us something.
Yeah.
Getting the motors turning. Feeling a little vulnerable. I'm just, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying you can get us now. You can talk to us now. Later, when we sharpen up, we wake up, we get our wits about us, the show gets underneath us, and we get rolling along. We don't have time for your ass. That's how it works. But now. So, Danny.
601, we're interested.
Danny, you.
Good morning, Adam.
You're laying out your allotment of cigarettes for today?
Yeah, although I'm not sure if that's exactly right, but I know it's certainly less than half of what I would normally smoke during the show.
Yesterday, Adam, you made the radical suggestion, not that Danny quit, but that he simply cut back his smoking and smoke every other commercial break.
Well, let me say this. It's something I'm very interested in, and it's sort of an age-old argument. And as I said yesterday, I used to have this conversation with Dr. Drew because I would always say, how about moderation? What's wrong with moderation? Mm-hmm. And Drew would say, a lot of people can't do it. But in your life, isn't that all you're up against? Which is to say, it's all right to have some drive-through junk food once in a while. You just can't do it every day. It's okay to say to your kids and your wife, hey, you know what? Me and Bill Simmons are going to go watch a crappy movie this weekend. You guys take care of yourselves, but you can't do it every night.
Right.
You know, almost everything you do, you know, we always focus on substances. We focus on food and alcohol and cigarettes and marijuana and whatever else. But every other facet of your life is just this sort of balance of, yes, I need to work. I understand it's important to work. And it's also important to have leisure time.
Right.
And if you work 24/7, well, it's not going to be a great life. But on the other hand, if you never get out of bed before noon, then that's not going to be a good life. So your whole life becomes this sort of how much of this, how little of that. It's something you have to do every day.
And it's something that works and is good for some people, but it's not that good for others. Like if I go by this, your suggestion, I put out half the cigarettes I would normally smoke. Mm-hmm. That's a great deal. In a way, for both of us, I don't know why it's a great deal for you, except maybe you care about my health or whatever the reason is, your motivation. Mine is I will be smoking less, paying more attention, and not dying so soon.
Right.
On the other hand, wouldn't it have been cool if getting married had only cut back on my sleeping around?
Mm-hmm.
Like I just slept with less strangers.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that would have been a cool deal that I think would have benefited everybody just as well, but I was the only one that agreed with that.
I see.
Well, I'm not sure how you getting married factors into you sleeping around, but it does make me think that there are certain things you can do to sort of trick yourself or to modify your behavior. For some people, getting married does slow them down a little.
It slowed me down a little.
For others, it went from 100 to 99 miles an hour. For others, it doesn't make a difference. All I'm saying is everyone has this thing where they go, starting Monday morning, I am going on the Pritikin diet.
Right.
No animal fats, no dairy, no grain, no oil, no processed whatever. If you start it Monday morning, 99% you'll be done with it by Thursday of that week, no problem. And the people that say, you know, I'm not going to touch another drop, or I start focusing on my career and I hit it 24/7. You know, all these sort of proclamations, these proclamations are usually made to motivate, and they're usually empty promises, because the people that are doing that in their life don't stop and make proclamations. Richard Branson never says, starting Monday, this Monday, I'm not talking about a week from Monday, it's Thursday, I'm talking about 3 days from today, I swear to God I will start. Fill in the blank.
Right.
The Maloof brothers don't do that either. Neither does Mark Cuban. Neither did any of the greats or any of the movers and shakers. Henry Ford never said, starting Monday, I'm going to invent a car called the Model T. He just constantly evolved, constantly moved forward, constantly changed. But it wasn't a life, I imagine, and it'd be interesting. I don't imagine a guy like Thomas Edison's life or Henry Ford's life was a life filled with crash diets and these sweeping things, you know, where he said, I'm going to meditate for an hour every single day. And then 2 days later, he was smoking and beating the crap out of his old lady. The proclamations.
Right, but someone has to do that. Someone has to make up for Henry.
I guess. But I guess what I'm saying is, whenever I say to a smoker or drinker or whatever, someone who wants to do something, you know, someone who goes, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to write a novel. Quit it and I'm going to write the great American novel. And right. I go, why don't you keep your job, work for 45 minutes or an hour each evening on your novel? Oh, no. No, I couldn't focus. You know, that's not glamorous. It doesn't sound interesting.
But the real
problem with that is that's work. That means you have to do it every day as opposed to the Monday, which never comes. You know, I'm going to quit this. I tell people all the time, let's just peck away. You know, they go, hey, I want to do this. I want to do that. They make all these sweeping, just sort of broad statements. And I go, well, you don't have to quit your job, or you don't have to quit cold turkey, or you don't have to get divorced, or you don't have to whatever you say you have to do. And then just do a half hour of it a day. And everyone goes, that sounds boring.
You know what? Yeah. Whether it sounds, because it doesn't sound boring to me. What? And I think this is where a person like me may put a flaw in your theory, and that is, what is moderation to some people would be cutting back so that no harm came to themselves or others, that there was no damage done, there was no time lost, no work left. What about people like me who, I'm just going to assume this is true, that I start my day, I wake up and walk through my day like most people do if they've had a few too many, or they've got some liquid courage, or they've had too much caffeine. Mm-hmm. I start at 100. The alarm goes off and I go. I've been to the gym. I've worked out. I've got a million places to go today.
Right.
Something's going to happen today for sure that I didn't plan on, that could go weird. That's just the magnet that I am. That's the way that I live my life. So if I cut down, if I go from 100 to 50, then I'm never going to get a ticket.
Danny's,
but I go 200, and I'm going to only slow down to 100, I'm still going to get a ticket every day, even cutting my life in half.
Danny's a super magnet, or as we like to call him, S magnet around here.
Yeah.
Well, first off, you're an anomaly. You're not everybody. Secondly, I'm not exactly sure how to address that, other than I'm sure there are things in your life that you'd like to do a little more of, or things you'd like to do a little less of, and you do just that. You dial the things you'd like to do a little more of. I mean, it's like, okay, I want to spend more time with my family. Don't quit your job and move to the wilderness with your family. Come home a half hour earlier and watch a half hour less TV every night and spend that time with your kids. That's what I'm saying. Your entire life is nothing but that. Why not use that when it comes to smoking? You know what I mean? I know it's an addiction, but you could get by on 2 packs a day. You know you could do that.
I'm sure of that, but I'm also not the only anomaly in the room. You're not a fair representation of the average guy either.
Well, maybe.
You know, you can actually say to yourself very possibly, I'm not going to wait till Monday. I'm going to do this today. And then you're going to do it, and you're going to get it done. And I'm going to say, I'm going to start on Monday. Probably start on Monday and fail. And I would say there are at least as many of me, maybe more than there are of you.
Well, you're doomed to failure if you make the proclamation. If you say, I'm never going to eat sweets again. Right. Now you're going to fail. And then once you fail, you may as well eat the whole pie.
Well, that's why
that's
they
what
have.
I'm saying.
Yeah, but also that's why they have one day at a time. And I'm not going to eat the sweets today
right.
or drink the drink.
I'm going to cut down on sweets. That is hard to screw up. All right, let's see. Let's talk to a few of you. Kyle?
How you doing?
What's going on there, Kyle?
I noticed yesterday I must have been listening to the show too much because I've now got your voice inside my head doing my complaining for me.
Ah, nice.
Look at the size of that boy's head.
Yeah. Yeah. My voice in it, too. It's got to be huge. Really? Now, give me a situation or an example.
Well, I went to take a leak yesterday. Actually, I went to take a crap, and I noticed someone had peed on the seat.
Uh-huh.
And the first thing I did, I took a big breath, and I thought, oh. Then your voice comes out and goes, why the F can't people just take a leak in the urinal and leave the, you know.
Yeah.
And leave the sitting for the guys.
What is going on?
I have another calmer voice that, speaking of Thomas Edison, who thinks, you know, one of the problems with the toilet seat when people go to the public restroom is they don't want to handle it.
Right.
You say, why didn't that a-hole put the seat up before he urinated? Well, the answer is he didn't want to touch the seat. How come seats don't have a little, instead of sliding your hand under the seat, which means you make contact with the top of the bowl and the bottom of the seat, what would be wrong with a little tab on the side of the seat that you use to lift? I mean, what else? Can I ask you guys this? Let me ask you a question.
All right.
What else that is made to move, such in a hinged action, mm-hmm. any kind of door, any kind of hatch, any kind of opening, anything, what else that needs to be lifted and dropped and lifted and dropped does not possess a place to put your hand? There's no knob. There's no handle. There's nothing. You know, a toilet seat is meant to be lifted when you urinate and dropped when you drop the deuce. What else, I ask you, riddle me this, mm-hmm. is meant to go up and down 100 times a day, and yet when you stare at it, there's nothing to grab except for the actual thing. I mean, it's not like your car door doesn't have a handle. It's not like your front door doesn't have a handle. It's not like any flap or hatch or anything. It's like your dishwasher in your kitchen. It's not like you're grabbing around the corner of the thing to open it. And I'll bet the dishwasher door gets open and closed less than the average toilet seat goes up and down.
And has less fecal matter on it.
Not
marginally,
at my house.
Marginally at my house. But yes, it's a tie. But the point is you find me something that's meant to be hinged, meant to have an action, meant to move 90 degrees up and down in your average house with kids and boys and girls 10 times a day, 9 times a day, 80 times a week, whatever it is. No handle, no place to put your hand. It's interesting that no one has figured that one out. Now, people go, well, no one wants to put their hand on a handle on a... Yeah, but no one wants to slide their hand under a toilet seat either, whether it's the one at the home or the one at the airport.
I have an idea. You know those garbage cans that have the foot pedal and then the lid pops up?
I can dig it.
Would that work for a toilet?
It would, but I'll tell you, I smell a lawsuit because I smell Johnny Fairplay dropping a deuce.
I just got the mail, dude.
Here comes the douche man wearing his foot stomping boots. Pow. Dooch goes, Fair Play goes ass over tea kettle right into that cowboy hat dispenser on the back. They're up there, free cowboy hats.
The Japanese have the answer to this. And we had the answer for a little while, and I guess it got too expensive. They don't go at 90 degrees. I think there is a car that you push a button in that has those wing doors might do it.
Right.
But that is an answer that the Japanese have, that if you are hit in a standing position and that light that flushes the toilet, if that hits you in the chest, the toilet seat goes up.
Ah.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And if it doesn't hit you, it stays down.
Interesting.
Also, in America, we had these for a moment, and it was, I thought, wonderful, because I'm grossed out by airport bathrooms. They're just, or any gross bathroom. I don't want to clean it up, you know. I will if I have to touch it. But don't you remember they used to have those saran wrap covers on the toilet? And you'd push the button, and what was there when you walked in the door that covered the toilet seat would move around a track, disappear into the back, and a brand new cover would come
heard
out.
Heard about them, never went to an airport that had them.
No,
I don't know if it was a Denver, Minneapolis. I don't know where those were. They weren't at LAX, and they weren't in McCarran, and they weren't a lot of the places I flew.
I can't imagine why it was often enough, but there was, I guess, at least one that I went to often because I've seen it 10 times.
Why don't we take a five-minute
heard,
break?
I've heard about it but not seen it. Yeah, the only... It's really the only thing I miss about construction is the seeing the sign that says free cowboy hats over the ass liners. And, of course, that was inside of the porta potty that was clearly marked Mexican space shuttle on the outside. Those are the two things I miss most about construction. All right. We need to take a break. But you know what? There's a lot of calls. Yeah. And now I feel like I'd like to talk to some of you. So we'll take a break, and we'll answer some of your questions and hear some of your slash comments. Quick break. Back after this.
Welcome to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. From the corner office, program director Jack Silver with his critique of this morning's show.
Hello Kitty roofie dispenser. Check. Pony keg of Astro Glide. Check. Bandolero of Viagra. Check. Oh, hey, what up, peeps? Jack Man's just making his list for tonight's Playboy Mansion show. Today, Dodgers Hall of Famer Tommy Lasorda. Comedian Robert Schimmel, a round of Rich Man, Poor Man, and one last chance to win free passes to Plano in the Grotto tonight at the Playboy Mansion, but only if you're a huge stoner. Hey, ladies, Jack Man's got a similar proposition, but it involves you, me, and my huge boner. Sorry if that one was kind of lame, peeps. The blood's not exactly in the Jack Man's big head right now.
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, indeed. All that Jack said is true. We'll be at the Playboy Mansion tonight, still looking for Stoner. Again, the ace team. Big nose, short red hair, big head.
Dude.
Lusher.
I waited for you, man.
Chick for Angie, and now Stoner for Dawson. All right. I guess we're still accepting pictures at adamcarolla.com. Picture you smoking pot out of something, just looking good and baked. We'll take those. Yes.
How's a stoner going to free himself up for tonight? Short notice.
Point. Yeah.
Well, it's not actually like a full-time job that can only be done at one location.
Dude.
You know, here's what you do with stoners. You transplant them like you do animals, and then you recreate their habitat, and they just continue.
They won't know.
Like, you know how it is? Like, a stoner will just be getting baked in his mom's kitchen, and then you'll pick the guy up and move him to the park or move him to his buddy's house or move him to an arcade or move him anywhere. And at first he's a little disoriented, and then he sparks up a doob and he's like, all right, I'm right back where I was. You know when you move animals, you go trap like a wildebeest or... Is it Wilder?
Wilder.
Wilder. Wildebeest. And they're like, hey, what the hell? What's going on? And they struggle and they fight and everything. And then they put them in a net and they put them in a flatbed pickup truck and they drive them 200 miles. And then they open it up and the thing hits the ground. It's like, hey, what the F? And then like 10 seconds later, it's like, hey, I'm hungry.
Right.
Would be nice if we were more that way. Stoners can be transported that way, like animals.
But you want to make sure that they stay in a natural habitat, meaning I have gone home with some very nice young ladies and woken up with one or two really pissed off wildebeests.
Yeah.
So you want to make
sure. Recreate their habitat.
I would go more with the plant family. You transplant them literally and then put them in new soil. The bougainvillea that I just moved from Home Depot to my rooftop. Have no idea, except possibly they're happier that they're getting more direct sunlight. Yeah.
Well, if you are would like to be planted at the Playboy Mansion with us tonight, you show us a picture of you smoking a plant, and we'll see you at adamcarolla.com. Jen? Oh, wait a minute. Did I punch her up? Yeah. Hey, Jen?
Ken.
Oh, Ken. Sorry, Ken.
Oh, my goodness. I'm bowing with my phone in hand to Brother Adam, Ace Man.
Thank you, Ken.
Brother Adam.
I am honored to be on the show this morning.
Well, we're glad to have you. What's up?
Danny
yes,
man.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Thanks,
T-girl.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Never hear enough of you over there, sweetheart.
Oh, thank you.
I sent her an email saying that with a cat hanging in there one time. Hey, guys, I just wanted to say thank you. You make my day. And all the guys I know, I tell them, hey, listen to Carolla. You're the only guy I know who can make a living off what I get in trouble for, and that's getting into a rant.
Oh, really? Oh. No. Well, what do you do, Ken?
I'm a safety inspector for the beep. I can't really say right now.
Mm-hmm. Like building and safety?
Something like that, yeah.
Hey, Ken, you've just launched me on a rant.
Uh-oh.
Do you do home inspections?
Yes.
Okay, can I ask you something about the kitchen?
Just remember I'm safety and on it.
Can I consider this a smoking break? Because there's no need for me for the next 10 minutes.
You can smoke an entire pack because this is going to go well into the 8 o'clock hour.
Perhaps I'll go in the bathroom and slather on some moisturizer for
don't
tonight.
Don't be on the seat. Come on, T.
Well,
I waited in line here, and I was behind the, I think, the Gecko, Geico Gecko there. He was ahead of me. So I just wanted to really thank you guys in the morning. I have to, when I roll up on a scene sometimes and they see me come up in the official vehicle, and then I have to put my phone to my ear because I'm listening to you guys, and I won't leave until the break.
Well, thank you.
I love that. Ken, where are you from? Are you from the Midwest?
Southern California, I grew up.
Colin from Las Vegas. Hey, do me a favor. Couple of things, Ken. First off, you're from the L.A. area, or you're from Southern California?
Yes.
And you transplanted to Las Vegas?
Yes, I did, back in 69.
Every single time I go to Vegas, I have somebody who's formerly from somewhere else. I mean, you think Los Angeles is a place that's filled with people from somewhere else? Okay. Try Vegas.
Absolutely.
There was nobody goes, oh, you don't know, my grandfather settled Las Vegas around the turn of the century, early 20s, and then his grandfather, of course, was here. His dad started Binion's Horseshoe over there. He's the home of the 99-cent steak. Nobody was from anywhere. I mean, nobody's from Las Vegas. Right. They're all from somewhere else.
Even the main acts have accents from foreign countries.
Right.
Celine's from Canada. Elton's from England.
The melting pot.
Whenever I show up to Vegas, it's always the same thing. I get the same cab driver. Where are you coming in from? Los Angeles. I used to live in Los Angeles, moved about 3 years ago. Corrosive smog, gangbangers, locusts, drought, floods, high taxes.
Bugs.
And, of course, you got all your racial rioting over there, too. And I'm like, I'm going back to raise my family there in 9 hours. So if you could just turn it down just a little bit. I hate L.A. too, but I live there.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm doing some math. Who's picking who up in a cab? You're picking my rich ass up in your crappy cab. And as I explained to the one guy after he gave me an ass full of it, it was in July and it was about 117 degrees. And I said, well, say what you will about L.A., but if this cab broke down in L.A., we would not die walking to the phone.
Yeah. True enough.
Yes.
Unless he was shot by one of the gangbangers.
Right.
I actually was a cab driver for a short time here in Vegas.
You couldn't make Corolla hate you more if you wanted to. You called up to really say nice stuff, and you're a building and safety inspector. He wants to set you on fire. And now you used to be the cab driver that says your life sucks.
Well, as long as you didn't say where you're from and then explain you were from there, you want to talk about bad etiquette. You say, where are you from? I don't care where it is, Indiana or Idaho or Los Angeles. Don't say, I used to live there, but it sucks so bad I moved here. Hey, Ken?
Yes.
Now, did you say building and safety?
Okay, put fire in front of it and you'll be there.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm. So people that know me.
like a fire marshal.
Oh, no. Come on. That's like calling a sergeant, sir.
But you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know about codes for kitchens involving air gaps for dishwashers, would you?
No, sir.
Okay.
Oh, thank
That's
God.
Not my gig.
Thank you, Ken. You guys.
You don't know how much we thank you.
You're right. All things in moderation.
You guys dodged a massive bullet there. Hey, Karen?
Yeah.
You have something to say?
Well, I appreciate that Ken's a safety guy. What we need down here at this Qual Stadium are more safety people, you know, with all the fire victims. It's horrible. Huh?
Oh,
really
you're at
Qualcomm?
Qualcomm?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, FEMA. We thought they had fixed everything, but, you know, there's a shortage of Pellegrino. They've only got, you have to wait at least 20 minutes to get a latte down here.
I turn on the news. Listen.
Hold on, there's a good bit.
I turn on the news. I'm going with her. I turn on the news and saw people getting massages.
At Qualcomm?
Yes.
You know how long you have to wait?
I heard it was up to 8 minutes.
I heard you couldn't get a shiatsu. It was doing Swedish.
Exactly. And this is what I'm saying. Where the hell? Okay, granted, FEMA is bringing in the trailers for, you know, our hired help and stuff. And we appreciate that, you know. But they're not allowing any remodeling funds for the trailers. You know, there's, you know, beer cans. And heaven knows what else in there. But
this is good stuff.
All right, but no, hold on a second, Karen. Yeah. Wait a minute. I'm putting Karen on
Let's just inform them as professionals when you've run out of bit. It would be about now.
Are we?
I thought you might have a little more.
Now, who is Karen? Now, I'm call me naive. I know everyone's thinking about Katrina and what happened there, and now Qualcomm. It's a totally different environment.
Right.
But are we making fun of white people? Are we dissing black people?
I think what's her point?
Are we saying the government steps up when they're white?
That'd be interesting.
I think the biting point behind the funny that Karen is making is that because the people in Katrina were largely minorities, that we weren't Johnny on the spot with that, whereas the Malibu fires and the San Diego fires, mostly the people who are displaced, I would say the majority of them are.
I believe that you're right. Her intent is
the
government paid way more attention to rich white people on fire than poor black people drowning.
Right.
I can't believe Brian's not playing Kanye West.
But this,
I got to tell you that her theory, as not a joke, is completely flawed. As a joke, it's a good joke. As a real theory, it's totally flawed.
Well, tell us.
Oh, okay.
I'm with you, for the most part.
Okay, because what were they called? The
levees.
When the levees broke, the town drowned. It's a town under sea level. It's not a bright way to build a town. So far, I keep hearing things like 9 houses have been burned. Okay, 8 million people or something like that were displaced.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got 9 mansions on fire. Now, believe me, the fires are out of control, and they're scary to watch, but they're not pouring in and immediately dumping and ruining a whole city.
Well,
I haven't even been slowed down in traffic.
Hold on a second. I don't want to shoot holes in your theory, but there's like 1,800 houses that burned, and there's
the biggest evacuation in California.
Hundreds of people are displaced. Look, no, here's the difference. Look, everybody. Everyone keeps talking about white and black, and they should be talking about rich and poor.
Right.
When you take rich people, and I don't mean rich people, I'm just talking about homeowners who live in semi-affluent areas, suburbs of San Diego and Malibu and places like this. These are people that have their faculties and a couple of nickels. When these people have to move, they have a family. They have a developed network. They have people they work with. They don't have just a bunch of people from the government assigned to look after them and their kids and give them welfare checks and crap. They have a network, a social network. Look, let's put it this way. My sister lives in Topanga Canyon. Topanga Canyon was evacuated. She called her brother. Her brother has a house in Malibu. Her and her family went and stayed at my house in Malibu. If I'm poor, she don't make that phone call. Also, she can afford to go stay in a hotel.
Right.
Don't know why she chose my house, but she can afford to go stay in a hotel. These people have cars and SUVs to pack their belongings in. They have friends and networks. They're up and running. They're on their feet. Now, if you take a guy, S happens to everybody.
Right.
But when S happens to a guy with a second home and an SUV and insurance up the wazoo and a cash full of money and some plastic in it, that ain't a bad thing. See, my house can burn down. I can take my car to the Beverly Hilton, throw the plastic down, and hunker down there for a few weeks. When S happens to people that have their S together, it's no big S. That's what's going on. And all the people in the Qualcomm area have their S together, not because of the color of their skin, but because of the color of their wallet and what's in it.
I agree completely, except for one big difference in the disaster area. One moves a lot faster than the other. One, people said, hey, I think those levees are about to, Jesus. And the other said, I think you should evacuate. No, really. I was evacuated. It was a fire. I discussed the issue for a couple of hours as cops walked around. We had all day. and that fire never got there.
But
these people
still
were underwater within a second.
It's still that day. I mean, it's still somebody says it's time to leave or the wind is shifting and you have a few moments to pack it up and hit the street. I mean, to me, that's not a big factor. To me, it's what do you have? What are you packing up? Mm-hmm. And if there's no plastic in your wallet and there's no gas in your tank or you don't even have a tank, you're screwed. And the big lesson that should come from Katrina, as I've said all the time, let's not count on the government. Yes. Look, hey, my black brothers, haven't you and your black leader friends been telling us how corrupt the government is, how inept the government is? Don't you people know firsthand how bad the government is? Because that's all you complain about.
Right.
Then the levee breaks and you go, hey, where's the government? I thought you guys were hip to the government. Didn't you guys know how bad they were? Remember, they're evil. Remember, they're white, they're blue-eyed devils.
George
Remember,
Bush doesn't care about black people.
They hate black people. If I was Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton or anyone who followed him, I would know by now very clearly that the government not only is not going to do anything for me, he hates me. He's incarcerating me for no good reason. He's keeping me down for no good reason. Remember, the government hates all people of color. So here's my advice, people of color. Get a flashlight.
That's a fine piece of advice.
Yeah.
By the way, you probably don't know this in most of the country. They actually let Bill Cosby's house in Malibu burn. Just to watch it burn.
I was curious if Karen had any more bits or if she had run out of material. I thought the
Karen?
Pellegrino thing was funny.
It's such a downer now.
Maybe got left in the comedy hopper.
That'll happen around here.
I just wanted to say that going around and rescuing Pomeranians and little Havanese dogs that have little bejeweled collars on them doesn't quite have the same impact as those poor straggly dogs with the rope tied around their neck. And
I know.
It's true.
The actual shopping, there's no computers set up for the individuals, so shopping has been slowed considerably. And
that's
these
good.
Poor people are suffering. They're suffering, truly. There's no microbiotic diets that are available. There's no manicurists. Mm-hmm. You know how many split nails
are out
there?
Well, too for the room. How about this, Karen? You saw Sean Penn wearing asbestos pajamas and his head hanging out of a Land Rover, leading white people to safety.
Can she have that? Can she have that?
For the pen.
Karen's opening this weekend at the Chuckle Hut in Sacramento.
Some people have to go to the Barney's of New York outlet store,
yes,
not the actual Barney's. Thank you. Karen, I feel like we could collaborate on some material.
I think it's very much exactly what you said, though. Honestly, it is absolutely a matter of money. I don't think it's an issue of color. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Look, everybody, tragedy's a tragedy, but a tragedy with insurance is a hassle.
Very well said, man.
You can either be devastating or you can lose everything and then someone can cut you a check for 10% more than all that stuff would have cost. Or you can have nothing. I mean, look, when your car breaks down, if you have a AAA card and a Visa card and some cash, then breaking down ain't no big deal. And if you have nothing but your feet and your thumb, it's a major hassle. That's all. I know it sounds bad, but the real tragedy in this country is being poor. And we don't have our S together enough to take care of it. We should. Well, it's all we do. Don't you think people are entitled to the best health care? Does it matter how much money? Don't you think everyone should have insurance? Don't you think every child should be educated? Don't you think there should be a place? Yeah, I do. Evidently, we can't pull it off. Evidently, we're not that good at it. We're better than a lot of countries, but we're not the greatest at it. Now, I'm aware of that. So my goal, make some money, get some insurance, get some plastic, and get a wind-up flashlight. All right, we need to take a break. Sorry, Dan, but we're running late, and we've been doing it all week, so I'm going to try to stop the bleeding on Thursday. Hey.
Wait till Monday.
I feel like I've been, I feel like I've been complaining all morning, but why not keep that train going? What can Adam complain about? 866-901-ADAM. Anyone who's on hold right now? That wants to convert their question into
a complaint.
A possible complaint. It's a nice way to justify the 15-minute hold. What can Adam complain about? 866-901-ADAM. We'll do it next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. It's time for a spirited round of What Can't Adam Complain About? You call with a topic at 866-901-ADAM and find out how the Ace Man can complain about anything.
Your friend Teresa's newfound success in television.
Her newfound success. Her. We must be happy for her. Not me. Her. Not us. Her. Not Ace. Her. Not Adam. Her. Not Mr. Carolla. Her's missing a penis.
What can't Adam complain about? Find out now on the Adam Carolla Show.
I think she found her penis. She's wearing a bat cowl. All right. Well, what can Adam complain about? Get it on.
Stuff. The world is full of it. And one man has a complaint for it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
Yeah. I'm going to start at the top and work my way down to the bottom. Kyle.
Yeah, Adam?
Kyle's one of those names that's 150 years old, but it took a 110-year break.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like there were Kyles in the 1860s, and then they said, let's take 120 years off, and then in 1983, pow, Kyle, back. What's happening, Kyle?
Not much.
What can't Adam complain about?
Don't make me turn on your ass, Kyle.
Okay. Adam, you cannot possibly complain about getting paid to complain about stuff.
Wow. It's like when a snake eats its own tail.
Oh, sweet irony.
I may just disappear. Well, let's not forget, for What Can't Adam Complain About, for you guys is a miserable 12 minutes a week. For me, it's my life. And let's not forget about my wife. Do you understand what it's like living with me?
What you woke me up for?
I can't feed my kids, watch Sesame Street at night while we're all eating dinner without hitting the pause on the TiVo and getting into Yertle or whoever the hell, the Count Blackula over there, whoever else they got over there. And don't get me started on Elmo. You know, my wife just sits there and goes, oh, I love Elmo. The kids love Elmo. The wife's laughing. The kids are laughing. I got to pick up the TiVo and pause. What's up? The graphics don't look good when they use the crayon. What are you talking about? It just looks a little cheap. The puppet looks good. Everything looks good. But when Elmo uses Elmo hand to write Elmo's World, it looks a little chintzy. I could fix it. She then gives me the look. The kids give me a look. They spit back up their strained peas, and they realize, wow, they married a world-class complainer. So for me getting paid to complain, that's good. That's like making lemonade out of lemons. There's a byproduct, and it's me complaining, and I found a way to make money at it, but I can't escape my own head. I never stop hearing this every time I wake up in the morning. Thank you. Let's talk to Joe. Joe.
Yeah, what's going on, Adam?
What's happening, Joe?
Man, you can't possibly complain about all of this good pot that's going around right now, right? All these good boners.
There's good pot going around right now?
Oh, are you kidding me? All that OG Kush and that Bubba Kush. Yes. Come on, it's harvest time. Everybody's
Bubba
there.
Kush was my gay porn name. I think I'm going to have to sue somebody. It's a poor name. There's weed called Bubba Kush?
Of course there's weed. There's OG Kush. There's Bubba Kush.
Hmm. Okay, let me say this about pot and drugs and everything in general.
Definitely not a Jew.
When I smoked pot, pot was A, expensive, and B, I made $9 an hour. So it was a big deal. As a matter of fact, we had to empty our centipede game we had in our kitchen in order to get enough quarters to buy weed once a month. You want to talk about stoned again? We had a centipede game in the kitchen of my apartment in North Hollywood, and all our stoner buddies would come and play, but we didn't do the freebie switch on it. You had to play to pay. At the end of each month, there would be $44 worth of quarters in a bucket in that machine, and me and my buddy the Weeds would go to the park and score some weed. It was expensive. Now, I'm literally a millionaire. Pot's cheap. Pot's effective. You got the Bubba Kush out there, and I don't smoke anymore.
I'm
toking out tonight at the mansion.
Really?
Yes.
Let me roll with you, and I'll bring some for you.
That's the whole thing. I don't need your ass. Bubba Kush is going to be all over the mansion. Well, it's cheap, and I'm a celebrity. What's that?
That's a nice meat spell. Let me come hook him up.
Dawson.
Yeah. Nobody smokes more pot than I do. 1 gram a hit.
Believe me, Dawson bleeds bong water as it is. Dawson.
He cries tears of bong water.
That's right. A single drop of bong water rolls down his cheek like an Indian seeing someone pollute. Hey, Joe.
Yes, sir.
Let me say this while you're on hold, because Bubba Kush has been interrupting the Kush man too many times. The reason this country is great is because there are guys with the name Joe. I don't want to live in a world that doesn't have a guy named Joe. Other countries don't really have that, and they need it. Oh, sure, they have their whatever version of Joe, but it ain't Joe. Joe's built this country. Joe's will keep it on track. Joe's are the guys that fight the wars, and they're the guys who stay home, stateside, and build the tanks that win the wars. Average Joe.
That's where that expression comes from. Have you ever heard the expression, this country was built by the average Sven? No.
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 No, and it certainly wasn't built by the average Seth.
No.
Kyle.
Or Kyle.
Brandon.
Brandon. Oh, hell no. Look, all I can tell you is this. In 1944, we had 1 million Joes for every one Brandon. Now, there's 2 Brandons for every Joe. And is it a better society? I don't think so. When I'm in charge, I will make sure that every 5th male born is named Joe and every 8th woman born is named Joe. Sure, Joanne, or she could be a full-blown Les Joe.
Dude.
All right, let's talk to Rob. Rob?
Hey, man.
What can I complain about?
You can't complain about last evening's episode of visiting with Huell Hauser.
Hmm.
Did you see it? Did you miss it?
No, yeah. Where was he? What was he doing?
He was flying, I think it was in the KTLA, like, news helicopter.
Hmm.
So,
oh, boy.
They went up and they were, showing off the gyro cam, so the pictures were
interesting. Oh, they weren't flying over anything. It was the helicopter itself.
No, they flew. They went up in the air. They flew around the city.
Yeah, I know, but they weren't looking at things on the ground. They were talking about the helicopter and how it worked for the news, right?
Yeah, and then sort of just showing it off by flying around.
We've accomplished our mission.
So you're telling me I missed the version where they put the thing on and they communicate with the walkie-talkie in the helicopter, and the guy goes, "So how long you been flying this helicopter?" It'll be 18 years, Huell. 18 years flying this helicopter. That's right, Huell. Continuously flying a helicopter nonstop, refueling in the air and starting a family as well off the ground in a helicopter. 18 years. Not continuously, Huell, but you get the idea. 18 years. That's right. Huell, if you look out the right side of the bird, you'll see my limp corpse plummeting toward the planet. That's me tossing my body because I can't take your fat ass anymore. You are throwing your lifeless corpse toward the earth because I'm driving you nuts because I'm wearing a helmet that has my voice in it. 18 years without jumping out of a copter, but 5 minutes with Huell Hauser in a helmet with a walkie-talkie built into it. And imagine that. Could you imagine anything worse than a helmet that had Huell's voice in it? Huell helmet head. You know what I mean? It's one thing when Huell's standing 10 feet away and you're at the tortilla factory in El Monte, and he's saying, "What's the loading dock used for?" Loading things, Huell. Loading things! That you can take for 10 minutes, but imagine his voice in your head with that walkie-talkie thing.
Imagine being able to say with a straight face, having Adam Carolla's voice or my voice, and being able to say how much it would suck to have Huell Hauser's voice in your head. That's got to be a bad voice.
I couldn't imagine. Hey, Rob.
Yes, sir.
It's hard to complain about, but I will catch it on TiVo. Thank you.
It's awesome.
Yeah. All right. Last one. Let's see. What do we want here? Let's talk to Freddie. Freddie?
Adam, how you doing?
What's happening?
Hey, T. I love T. And Danny, I got to say, Danny, your references are awesome. I don't believe I get 90% of them, but they're great. But anyway, I don't know if you can. I'm going to combine two of them real quick. I don't know if you can combine or complain about nice, comfortable pair of work boots or the wife taking the kids away for the weekend.
All right, let me say this about the shoes and how the work boots work. something happens at some point in your life where you realize you're tired of tying shoes. You've tied your last shoe. I don't know if it's your back stiffening up, or I don't know if it's your brain stiffening up, but at a certain point you go, give me a loafer. That's why you see old people walking around in loafers and slippers. They just don't have time to tie their shoes anymore. When you're a kid, it's an adventure. I'm going to get down there and see if I can pull off the riddle known as the shoelace. And through your middle teens and 20s and 30s, it seems like just something you have to do. But at a certain point, you realize, I don't want to tie my shoes. Work boots take a long time to tie because not only do you have to cinch them up, you have to undo them to get out of them and then re-thread them. It's like removing a boxing glove by pulling all the strings out of it. It's a pain in the ass. I like work boots. I like the steel shank. I like the steel toe. The one I never could figure out is the oil-resistant sole. It's stamped right on the bottom, oil-resistant sole, like you're going to go, aha, eureka. Finally, I can stand around in crude oil with peace of mind. How much time do you spend standing in oil, and what soles aren't oil-resistant? Do you think you just take a pair of New Balance or Nikes and walk down a driveway and step in a little puddle of transmission oil and go, I can taste oil. What happened? Oh, my God, I'm not wearing my oil-resistant sole. I dig the oil-resistant sole. I'd like to think my sole is oil-resistant. But either way, it takes way too long to cinch up. And as far as the wife going out of town with the kids, here's the big problem. When the wife does something with the kids for the weekend, that then frees you up to watch TiVo and masturbate and not in that order. And then when she comes back, it's time to pay the fiddler. Hey, I took the kids, I did that. When you do something for the weekend, for some reason, there's no payback. It's a weird thing. When a girl says, me and the girls are going to Vegas for the weekend, you think, fantastic. And then when she comes back, somehow you owe her because you got to live your life without her for a couple of days. When you go to Vegas, you must pay her back. It's a weird no-win dichotomy for men. I don't know how we worked ourselves into that. Maybe it's the same a-hole who decided that anniversaries, maybe that was up to us to screw up. You know, somehow something happened. The playing field is no longer level anymore, and I feel like I'm climbing up it wearing some waffle stompers, the aforementioned work boot we spoke of to what feels like 10 minutes ago. I know that was diluted and confusing, but do you know what I'm saying? You leave for the weekend, you come back, you have to pay the fiddler. She leaves for the weekend, she comes back, you still have to pay the fiddler. How does that work? And we're getting screwed. Thank you. You know what it is? You know what it's turned into for us, for men? Society used to be this. I cook the meal, you do the dishes. And that was cool for me. Now society for men has turned into, I cook the meal, so I have to do the dishes, too. I don't dig it. I don't like Valentine's Day becoming a woman saying, well, it's yours to screw up, impress me. And I don't like that with anniversaries either or weekend getaways. All right, I'm out of breath. We need to take a break. Hold on.
That was What Can't Adam Complain About?
Man.
Oh, I was just going to say that you are so right, but you know what I hate is when my wife leaves town and takes the kids, or I leave town and I go to Vegas and I don't have to be with the wife or kids. Either way, when I come back, I have to pay the fiddler and his friggin' lawyer, or her friggin' lawyer, every time.
It is sad alone. Now that the fiddler has representation.
Oh,
the fiddler
he always does.
The fiddler used to just pay the fiddler. Now you have to pay his publicist, his manager, his agent, and his attorney. Everyone wants to wet their beak with the fiddler. Horrible Batman villain. The fiddler. All right, we'll take ourselves. Just the guy, fat guy with the beard playing the devil went down to Georgia. That's all he is. It's going to unleash his wrath on Gotham City. We'll take ourselves a break. T.
Yep.
Fiddle us some news.
What items are most often surgically removed from dogs?
Interesting. All right.
I don't count as an answer.
Fiddles.
Bald Brian.
Both.
Yep. Big fat villain with a beard.
Bread pans.
Yeah. We'll take ourselves a... I do like this song.
Me too.
Everyone likes this song. We'll take a quick break. Be back with the news next.
Gonna laugh.
Coming up on this morning's show, comedian Robert Schimmel.
My daughter saw this billboard, Swim with the Dolphins. And she said, Dad, I always wanted to swim with the dolphins. Yeah, always, since you saw the sign.
Your chance to win tickets to Blotto in the Grotto, our Halloween party at the Playboy Mansion tonight. And L.A. Dodgers Hall of Famer, Tommy Lasorda.
I'm making a mouth shut.
866-901-ADAM. Live across America, it's the Adam Carolla Show.
That wasn't Joe Pesci from Goodfellas. That was Tommy Lasorda.
I remember that.
The band that was just playing in the background, by the way, is called Pen 15 Club, and they will be playing this weekend at the West Beach Music Festival.
Dude.
Why do I say that? Well, I will be there.
I waited for you, man.
You will?
Yeah, a bunch of bands up in Santa Barbara, me, Stoner Dawson, and Pen 15 Club, amongst other. Go to www.westbeachmusicfestival.com. T.
Yep.
What's going on in the news, baby girl?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
President Bush is coming to town. He'll be in San Diego looking at some of the areas that have been ravaged by fire. He'll then have lunch with some rescue workers and then head back to D.C. The White House, very concerned about another public relations disaster, the likes of what happened with Hurricane Katrina. Now, as we heard from...
Oh, really? I think it would be just the opposite. Like, I feel like he can't screw this up enough. The better he does at it, the more crap he's going to get. There's going to be that, right. See, when they're black, you don't care. When they're white, look what you do.
I don't like white people.
He ought to come off Air Force One smoking.
Right.
And then just flick the button, do that flick move.
Slow motion.
Slow motion, of course, into a big pyramid of oil cans. It's, if oily rags lying about, just a huge explosion behind him. Because I really feel like if he comes over here, rolls the sleeves up and grabs a shovel and says, like, we got to start saving white babies. There's going to be trouble.
Yes. Well, as you've heard, things over at Qualcomm are nothing like they were for the evacuees in Katrina.
All right. Here's how I've said it once, said it again. This is how you know we're racist. Not because we don't want to help black people, but then when you take a bunch of black people and you put them in a football stadium and somebody goes, hey, they're raping newborns. Everyone goes, well, what are we going to do? Nobody goes, huh? What do you mean they're raping kids over there? And if that happened at Qualcomm, people would go, no, they're not. What do you mean they're raping kids and they're looting and they're whatever? But when all the black people are in one place and you say to Whitey in his Birkenstocks in Santa Monica and you pull him over and you do that roll down move with his window, even though no cars have had cranks on their windows for 30 years.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham.
You still do the roll down thing when you want the guy to, hey, buddy, I want to ask directions. No cars had window cranks for 30 years, but you give them the roll-down move. Come on. My kids will be giving their... They'll be flying around hovercrafts next to the... And they'll go, roll it down! Roll it down!
No other gesture's going to do. Who's going to react to the tip of your finger?
This is like I'm going to diddle you. Yeah, the finger, but...
By the way, just so you know that you're right, I borrowed Amy's car to get here this morning because I was out of gas and didn't have time to fill up.
Mm-hmm.
She has roll-down windows, and I could not figure out... It's a brand-new car.
Oh,
and I could not, for the life of me, figure out how to open the window.
She's driving a $4,000 car.
But it's brand new in her pride and joy that she got it. The other thing I couldn't get out. You know why? Because it has regular door locks that I rested my arm on and locked the door.
Wow.
And I had to find it. There was no button.
I didn't know they made a vehicle.
Brand new 2007, sitting out there with crank windows and manual locks you have to lift up and find in the dark.
Whew, who knew? Well... Point is,
Dawson would be in there for 3 days.
You tell the guy, roll down the window, and you say, hey, there's a bunch of black folk living in a football stadium, and everyone's raping the bejesus out of each other and killing each other. And the white guy goes, well, why aren't we doing something about it? Instead of, those guys need to be hauled out of there and brought to justice, or what are you talking about? That's the most racial part. The most racial thought you can have is looking at people like they're animals. Like they need something, like they can't control themselves. You know what I mean? Every time Whitey does that thing where it's like, these people, these tests are too hard for them, or they can't get jobs without our help, or how are they supposed to, or what would you do if you took a bunch of people and you put them in one space? Of course they're going to rape. Of course. Well, now you're talking about animals, aren't you? That's the racist thinking. Thank you, T.
I've heard during these Malibu fires, though, that actually Mel Gibson did attack Barbra Streisand, but just for fun.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
Well, it's true. He doesn't care much for the Jews.
Mm-mm. Well, it's because they run Hollywood and Star Wars. Aside from that, they're fine.
Yes.
Well, here's what's going on at Qualcomm. A little yoga, some acupuncture, massages, gourmet buffet tables, and clowns for the kiddies.
Yeah. Well, this is Prue Adams' point.
Yeah.
He can't screw this one up enough.
Mm.
And, of course, a big question on everyone's mind.
Hey, but hold on a second.
Yes.
Again, knock it off, Whitey. No one wants to see this. You understand how far you're going to set us back?
Right.
We're going to see. That's what I saw. I saw a turn on CNN this morning. Guy was getting a massage.
Yeah.
Yes, and they had the guy with the clown suit and the guitar and people. It was with a carnival atmosphere.
Right, yeah.
Saw a guy playing Papa Shot, just throwing it. Another guy giving him a big stuffed animal. They had the zipper set up. Guys were riding that. There was a cotton candy machine. We can't turn it into a party when Whitey gets displaced. You understand? It's going to make the black man mad.
Sure. Clown's real cute until it incites class warfare.
Now, here's what I need. Yes.
Unless you did class warfare.
I need a couple of white guys to head down to Qualcomm in their slippers and underpants and, rub a little fecal matter on themselves and then sleep on the sidewalk and then pop up and yell, I haven't had any water in 3 days. That'll settle the score.
Don't say Perrier.
We're twisting the knife, so to speak. And Bush, why does Bush need to show up? I know he has to show up, but does he do anything? You know that whole thing where
comforts.
He's gonna. Yeah, here's what happens. His motorcade shuts down the freeway. There's that thing where you're driving on the freeway, and then the guy on the cop bike slides right in front of you and starts doing the zigzag thing, and that means, oh, crap, we're not going anywhere. All he does is shut down traffic. He's not here to survey anything. And by the way, you want to survey something these days? Turn CNN on. They got a satellite picture of all the fires. Just do all your work from your office.
Don't mess with Texas.
I'm fine. Sorry, T. Go ahead.
Unclear whether the Chargers are going to be playing at Qualcomm.
Mm.
San Diego Charger player, all-pro linebacker Sean Merriman, lights out, who we've had on the show several times, says he was told it was mandatory for him to evacuate. Here he is talking to SportsCenter.
I was evacuated. They came and got me, and first it was voluntary, and then the second time they came through, it said it was mandatory. So they came and got me just like they did everybody else.
Yeah, I saw that interview. We're taking it one evacuation at a time right now. Are you looking ahead to further evacuations? No, right now? Right now, we're taking it one evacuation at a time. We're just playing solid, fundamental evacuation-type ball over here. There's no prima donnas. There's no head of the evacuators on this team. It's 53 guys with one cause, and that's evacuating.
Is there an I in evacuating?
There's no I in evacuate, my friend.
If I'm not mistaken, Lights Out is a man of color, is he not?
We don't see color. All we see is evacuations.
We're
not looking ahead. Now, next week we have a bye week, so we're not going to evacuate anymore. But then we're back. And, again, we're not looking down the schedule, taking a one evacuation at a time.
Just proving your point once again. I don't remember anybody in Katrina saying the cops came by and said, please, the first time.
Right.
You know, that's a black man right there saying, the police came by and said, we're thinking that maybe you should evacuate. The next time they came by and said, okay, now you've got to go. So it's the color green that really does matter. Mm-hmm. And that proves the point right there.
From football to baseball, last night was game one of the 2007 World Series. The Boston Red Sox beat down the Colorado Rockies, winning by a score of 13-1. The onslaught of runs started in the first inning when Boston's leadoff batter, Dustin Pedroia, hit a home run. That's only happened one other time in World Series history, back in 69. Here is the call from last night.
And a shot.
Well, the Sox have scored 43 runs in the last four games. The Rams have not scored 43 points in the last four games. They are averaging 11 points an effing game in, or I should say 11 runs an effing game in the last four games. That's unheard of, and the opponents have scored like five. So in the last four games, it has been 45-5. And they are on a roll, and everyone in Red Sox Nation between... between Bill Simmons with the Patriots, and now... I mean, I couldn't tell you who seems like a bigger juggernaut. Is it the Pats or is it the Sox? The Pats are beating the crap out of everyone. They're not just beating them. They're beating the bejesus out of them. And in, let's put it this way. The last four games, if they were Little League games, would have been stopped because the slaughter rule would have been enacted in the sixth inning. They are killing everybody. Dear online diary, I am going to return to the Boston area like MacArthur returning to Ryan Felipe's house. Hold on, wait a minute. Scratch that. MacArthur returning to Japan. Hold on now. Scratch that. Scratch that online diary. Returning. MacArthur. Damn it. Like Mr. Carter returning to the Sweat Hawks. Go Sox!
Now, speaking of socks, socks are an item frequently swallowed by dogs. The veterinary pet insurance folks have put together a list of the top 10 items that must be surgically removed from pets' gastrointestinal tracts.
The other one rhymes with socks.
Mm-hmm.
Number one.
Starts with a C.
Socks.
Yeah.
So if you leave your socks around and your dog is a chewer, be careful. After that, underwear.
Oh, well, hold on a second. Look, at a certain point, you're just going to have to let nature take its course.
Absolutely.
You don't have enough time in the day. If the dog is going to eat a shoe, a sock, a television remote, you know, if there's nothing the dog won't eat, I mean, if it becomes more goat than dog at a certain point, it's time for him just to go to the big farm in the sky. I'm not going to walk around, you know, picking up everything that hits the floor.
But yes? I want the dog to be dead when I find it.
Yes.
If the dog's not dead, even a guy like me that says, hey, sock eater, you got what you deserve. If the dog's laying there going, dad, you got to pick the friggin' dog up and take it to the doggy hospital. But if it's already dead, it had it coming.
Well, a friend of mine's dog has eaten three sleeping masks. His wife sleeps in the sleeping mask, and the dog has now eaten three of them, and they get tangled up. And once the dog was on the operating table, and they were just about to cut it open, and the dog just sat up and relieved himself. Out came the sleeping mask.
Really?
I like to see. Tell me about your socks.
I mean, the scalpel was out. The dog was just about to go under.
Can you imagine what would happen if you ran into a Bandit from Johnny Quest?
Mm-mm.
Constantly looks like he's wearing a sleeping mask. You'd eat that little dog's face.
Bandit was the dog from Johnny Quest. You're too young, but yeah, he had a little shading around his eyes that made him look like a bandit.
Well, they also eat underwear, pantyhose, rocks, balls, chew toys, corn cobs, bones, hair ties or ribbons, and sticks.
Here's the place to get socks.
this is a beast that eats underpants and shoes, and yet I can't give it a chicken bone or it'll die, or can't have any chocolate or it'll die. What is that thing? You know what I mean? With the rules and the dogs, do they have that in other countries? Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think they're sitting around Mexico and a guy finished his ice cream bowl and he puts it on the ground and the wife says, no, no, you know, do not, the dog will. My wife has about 1,000 rules about what my dog can eat. Apparently, dogs can just eat tin cans and they're fine. What's the big deal?
Tell me about all these rocks.
And there's always that thing, too, where they go, no, no, they can't have bones. They can't have bones. What did they do in the wild? What did their ancestors do? Eat animals that didn't possess bones? Oh, yeah, the dog lived off jellyfish and bean curd. What, really? Didn't they just hunt in packs and eat other things that were smaller than they were that were filled with bones? Why can't a dog eat a bone? And by the way, I'm eating a bone.
Yeah.
Tell me the dog can't handle it?
My teeth are called canines.
What's up? And they do that thing, too, where they go, oh, they could choke. They could choke, yeah. They could choke, or they could have a life where they didn't get to eat any bones. I think if I talk to my dog, Molly, and yes, what about chocolate? Well, how does that work?
I will tell you this, and if it didn't cost me $400 an hour to talk to the woman, you could call my wife and back me up. But she was giving me the speech about bones and chocolate simultaneously because we were having Boston chicken.
And I got a rap group I was in high school, by the way.
Bones and chocolate?
I got out the Hershey syrup.
You were the bones part.
I said, really? Is that how life really works, Gretchen? Are you sure? And I took out the Hershey syrup, and I covered the chicken bone in it, and I said, here you go, Dukes. And he ate the chocolate-covered bone and was just fine.
Yeah, they're fine.
It's a goddamn lie.
Not only are we living in a nation where we're wussifying our own kids, talking them into being allergic to peanut butter and indoor allergies and everything else, but we're talking our pets into being pussies as well. I don't think our pets like it. I bet our pet would, I bet Molly would like herself a nice bone.
Yeah.
Good times.
I agree
a dog.
With you. People who don't let their cats out, my cats are indoor, outdoor. They can take care of themselves.
There's coyotes. And then the coyotes eat the cat bones, and then they get sick. Yes.
That'll be fine.
I'm going to take my cat, cover it in chocolate, and let it go.
Well, let
Did
me
you
leave.
You see that episode of Breaking Bonanucci?
Yes.
I wrapped the dog in bacon?
Yes, that was good. I will leave you with this about Tracy Morgan. He copped a plea on a DUI charge.
Speaking of chocolate.
He was ordered to wear one of those Scram ankle bracelets for 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
Scram, which is Secure Continuous Remote Alcohol Monitoring. That's the device that knows when you're drinking. Well, apparently he didn't wear it for the full 90 days, but he's hoping to avoid being punished for that. Tracy Morgan's attorney told a judge yesterday that Morgan had to take it off early because of an undisclosed medical condition.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be back in court on Tuesday to tell the judge specifically what that condition is. I'm guessing alcoholism.
Yeah, why? It's an ankle bracelet, right?
Yeah, what would keep you from having, from being able to wear your Scram?
Continuously?
Yeah.
Have you noticed I haven't been wearing all my pirate jewelry lately?
I've been missing that.
Me too.
A bunch of, I guess, eventually soap and stuff got caught under some of them, and all my fingers broke out in terrible rashes. So I could see you taking a shower, maybe something got stuck in there, and it's hard to give them a serious rash.
It's a pirate-based rash.
As anything that can stop your soap and water from moving. Staying in there. I'm trying to give the guy a break and actually think of a real reason you might have to take that off, or an allergy, or the guy that keeps getting fatter and can't be stopped. That can also, you know, the guy is blowing up like a balloon.
All I know is gout.
That will swell up your.
It's
your
a nice
ankle.
Catch-all.
Yeah,
I never argue. If somebody says, if I said, why were you late for the movie? Gout. I go, all right. If they say, why'd you miss 2 days of work? Gout. All right. What happened? Why did you never graduate college? I had about a gout. If you say gout to me, all I know is you're done. You're off the hook.
I'm Teresa Strasser, suffering from a minor bout of gout, and that's the news.
Tomorrow's news.
Brian had it too.
Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
I don't think anyone knows what gout is, but no one wants to say they don't know what
My
gout is, so they just walk
gout.
Away. Right?
Yeah, you get it from eating really rich
you
foods.
You do whatever you want.
That's right.
I could go home, beat the bejesus out of my wife.
Yeah.
And if she said, what are you doing? I'd go, gout. And she'd go, okay. That's and fine. I would just continue beating her.
Yeah.
You didn't say gout for anything.
You can just tell her you were eating a lot of organ meats.
Okay.
That flares your gout.
Oh, your stepdad?
Right,
stepdad had the gout. It was flared by eating rich foods.
He was a brother?
Yeah.
Yeah, they love the giblets, those people. You know, let me say something about the Jews and the brothers.
Okay.
It's always a good call.
They don't, historically, haven't done well. I don't know why, but the brothers aren't big fans of the Jews, and sometimes vice versa. But I think you guys can find some common ground.
What?
Which is crap. Regular white folk won't eat.
Sure.
You guys devour. The Jews love the lungs, and they love the hearts, and the kidneys, and the giblets, and the brains, and the tongues, and all that weird stuff. And the brothers love all the weird parts that the goyim won't eat. So maybe you guys can unite over your common love of giblets.
We did in my family.
You did, right?
Oh, yeah. On Sunday morning, huge breakfast. My stepdad frying up stuff. I didn't want to know what it was.
Maybe the Jew and the black man can march hand in hand down to the Waffle Hut and get themselves a nice chicken liver omelet. You know, the chicken liver omelet, that is something that no whitey will touch. There's no such thing as a blue-eyed goyim that wants himself a liver omelet. We don't have a word for your fat. Actually, our word is called yuck.
Yeah, yuck.
And that's what we use in place of your feh. But we would say yuck to a liver omelet, a chicken liver omelet. The Jews and the brothers both devour it. T.
Yeah.
Spread the word. What'd you say?
I'm working on it.
But get a new word beside feh. What a gay ass word for yuck.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Dreck. Do you like dreck?
Dreck's better than feh.
All right.
Use dreck. We'll take a quick break. Robert Schimmel, comedian. Feh. It's coming in studio next. Think about Robert. Not only does he bring his A game when he comes in the studio, but he brings produce.
You're losing your hair?
He brings an entire pile of produce each and every time, looking at carrots and bananas and cucumbers.
In the spirit of his having recovered from cancer, I am going to consider this a cigarette break.
All right. Danny, you smoke a cigarette. I'm going to have some broccoli flour, and we'll be back with Robert Schimmel next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser.
My daughter saw this billboard, Swim with the Dolphins. And she said, Dad, I always wanted to swim with the dolphins. So you pay, and they take you in a room, and they got a guy that comes in that tells you what you can do and what you can't do. You can rub his belly, but don't go past where the belly button would be, because he's got the same thing you've got. And I said, the dolphins got herpes?
Now, comedian Robert Schimmel on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, Schimmel. Pull up that mic. Great to see you as per usual.
I am right on it.
Robert Schimmel, great stand-up comedian. Got divorced, thumbed his nose at the devil when he beat cancer, and is now back making America laugh. Irvine Improv tonight, or at least parts of Irvine.
Yeah,
tonight.
Parts of Irvine. I wonder what the traffic's going to be like going up there.
Oh, I'm sure it'll fly. Because, you know, Southern California barely has any traffic anyway, but when there's wildfires, it really moves.
Yeah. I think Schimmel should just go out to Malibu right now and enforce your no smoking rule.
Yeah.
Go out there and just say no. Schimmel says no.
No, can I just tell you, the traffic was so bad yesterday. I was trying to get to my therapy appointment. It took almost 2 hours. By the time I got there, I had to just undo the damage from the commute.
Thank God her in-car therapist didn't run out of steno paper.
The funny thing she said we should have spoken on the phone while you were on the freeway.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? No. Robert, are your cans working there? Your headphones working?
Off.
Let's see. Jiggle that around there, Bald Brian, or get something going for her.
Okay.
So is that how it works? If you're running late for therapy, you call your therapist?
Well, I call just to say I'm going to be late because I don't want to be rude. So
how
I just
late,
left a message.
Though?
Well, I was 35 minutes late for a 50-minute session.
But you have to pay them anyway, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like a trainer.
Robert knows.
Yeah, but to me...
Well, because I heard from somebody.
The fact that you get paid for not showing up or not doing whatever said job it is, no apologies necessary. I would hope that no one ever showed up. My dream job is a therapist with no clients and just paychecks.
Not true. Not true. Because, first of all, your head left alone... For an 8-hour day in a small room with a couch, you'd implode.
Probably.
You would absolutely need to hear someone's problems or complain about something, or you would just catch fire.
Schimmel, do you ever go to a therapist? Do you have a therapist?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How often?
Planned Parenthood made me go after my sixth kid.
weekly?
No, it was great. I went biweekly, and I, you know, go in there, talk to the guy, and at the end he goes, okay, see you next week, and I walk out going... Did he even say anything?
No.
I don't remember him saying anything except, hey, how you doing? And he was eating like a pita bread something. And
yeah.
I'm like,
he
going,
eats
yeah.
during your session?
And then, you know, what?
He eats a pita bread during your session.
Yeah.
You could.
He says, you could take your shoes off if you want. And I said, no, let's keep the clothes on. Okay, what is clothing optional therapy?
I walk into a psychiatrist's office. It sounds like a setup for a joke. But first of all, I don't go to a therapist.
Because they don't give medication.
Yeah, if the government doesn't trust you to write a script, you're not my doctor. I walk in every state I've ever lived in as a jock, someone that I've lived with has insisted I see a psychiatrist. And I walk in, and by the time I've said hello, they've written a prescription for lithium. That's where they start with me.
Robert,
I wish that were a joke, man.
You ever do the couples therapy?
I tried it once before my first marriage disintegrated.
How'd that go?
Not too good. Not too good because, you know, I was in there first and then, you go in first and the wife talks and they bring you both in.
Mm-hmm.
So I go in first, say what, you know, and they go, be honest and open and this is neutral territory. Yeah. For the therapist, it's neutral territory.
Right.
Right.
Because then they bring my wife in and go, now, Robert said that you only like to do it one way and that it's like once a month. And she's like, what? And then there you go. We're fighting in the car on the way home.
Worse
on the way there.
Who has a worse batting average, rehab centers or couples therapists?
Rehab centers, by far.
I don't know if it's by far.
I
feel like every couple I know that went to therapy is an ex-couple. I think rehab centers are horrible, yeah. But couples therapists, it usually means you're breaking up. That's why you end up
It helps
there.
You clarify that you shouldn't be together.
Yeah, or that, you know, maybe you have a communication problem or, you know.
I'm sorry I'm laughing. It's just that I didn't see the problem, but the doctor did. He said, I don't think your couples therapy is working out. And I asked him why, and he said, you brought a different girl each time.
Well, also... I'll tell you what good comes from couples therapy. If you know at noon every Friday you're going to be sitting in front of some postmenopausal bitch that's siding with your wife and looking down her nose at you, you stay in line during that week. It keeps you in line. You have that thing on Wednesday where your wife did something that pissed you off and normally you would have flown off the handle, but you know, 48 hours. I'm going to be sitting there in front of St. Peter, and she's going to be siding with my wife, and I ain't getting through the pearly gates.
Yeah.
Hey, Schimmel.
My doctor said I did this as an excuse, but I didn't. I just told the truth. They would go and say, he did this, and he did this, and he's a jerk, and he said this. And the doctor says, is any of that true? I said, yeah. And he'd say, why do you do that? I go, because I'm an ass. This is what I do. Sure. Why does she like me? She's an idiot to like me. This is her call. See, if you just cop to everything you do... See, this is my nature, and this is who she chooses to like. She needs therapy.
You guys, do you guys get weird? Do you ever go to the therapist? And
you're talking to me?
Well, the waiting room.
They're waiting. There is no waiting room.
Every therapist I've ever went to has had the waiting room.
No, he has you wait in the stairwell.
It's uncomfortable or under the stairs.
That way you don't have to see anybody
else.
It's
always weird when the person comes in and they come walking in and you go... What's your problem, dude? And then it's like, my problem. What's your problem, dude? You have that weird silent thing. Yeah. I'll tell you, same etiquette you use in the porn section of the DVD place. Same thing. No eye contact. No physical contact. A subtle, okay, we both have a problem, knowing glance. Let's just keep moving forward.
I agree with you there. At the therapist's office, you walk in while I'm sitting waiting, and I go, how crazy are you? First thing out of my mouth.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, first thing.
Yeah, that is horrible. That's horrible etiquette.
Why?
Yeah.
So?
Well, I was in there, and the guy said, the first thing he said to me is, he said, you ever hear voices? And I said, I hear yours. And he's not laughing.
Well, do you ever get upset if your therapist doesn't laugh at your jokes?
No. No, because I tried, and he's just not going for it. That's not what that room's for. And then he said, do you ever hear voices telling you to do things? I said, what married guy doesn't hear voices telling you to do things?
Well, speaking of voices, I'm reading here that you've not been asked to go back on a Conan show in 7 years. Because
that's
of something dirty that came out
that's
of your mouth.
True.
Is that not true?
That is not true.
When's the last time you did Conan?
9 years.
9 years. Because I've been banned from Conan as well.
No, I went out there, and what happened was... I was in the green room, and Carlin was on the same show as me. So Carlin's on first, and, you know, Conan asks him, what's your favorite bit of all time? And naturally he says the 7 words you can't say on television, and then he says them live. So, you know, the audience goes nuts.
Right.
And the producers come into my green room, and they go, okay, forget it. You know, now you got to really be careful because he used up everything there is to do. So... Conan comes in on the break and says, what are you going to open with? And I said that I went to the dentist and I had nitrous oxide for the first time and I'm sitting in the chair like out of it. And he says, you're going to feel a little prick in your mouth. And I said, I'm going to need a lot more gas before that starts happening. So Conan goes, that's great. Do it. So then I walk out and do it. And as soon as I say, you know, prick in the mouth, the band's like, bah, 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 nah, bah. I'm like, what?
Oh, no.
And then they come over and they go, what were you thinking? And I said, Conan told me to do that. And they said, don't listen to him. And I said, what do you mean? They said, it's his show. They said, no, it's not. He's the host of the show.
Mm-hmm.
The sponsors own the show, not him.
Right. And that was the last time he did the show?
No, I came back after I finished chemotherapy, and they said, you know what? We're going to give you a shot. You went through this whole thing. I walked out, and I said, I'm really excited to be here. I licked the big C, and I got a standing ovation, people screaming.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after that, I said, and I beat cancer. Yeah.
That was the last time.
Well, you know, that's left up to somebody's imagination what that would mean.
I have been banned from Conan.
What'd you do?
Well, I had experienced much like Schimmel, which is I worked my stuff out. You get your stuff, you know, you work it out with a segment producer. They know what you're going to talk about. And then Conan sets you up. How is the flight here? How your kids doing? Whatever it is, you do the material. I did the exact same material that I had pre-planned to do. At some point, somebody in the crowd got angry, and I yelled, "Sit down, you lesbian," or something like that.
Wow.
It was a spirited, fun, raucous night. It's kind of what you want in a guest. Some jokes, but a little controversy. Mixing it up, stirring it up a little bit. Didn't cross the line. I've done many of these shows. They decided I did cross the line, and that was the last time I was ever asked on the show. Now, here's how you know you're banned. You don't get a candy gram saying you've been banned.
Right.
You'll know because you'll never go on the show again. But here's how I really know I was banned. I was in New York just days after 9/11 with Kimmel. I've told the story before. We were doing Hefner's Roast. We were walking around. Maybe we just did Stern, and we were going to do a Jon Stewart show. And he got a call from Conan's people saying, "Hey, Kimmel, not Schimmel, but Jimmy Kimmel, how about you come on the show? They're struggling for guests. It's just after 9/11. People don't want to get on flights, and a lot of celebrities live in L.A., and they don't want to go to New York. So they're desperate. So they say, Jimmy, can we book you on the show tonight? And he says, yeah, you can book me, and you can book Adam. We're both here. We're doing, you know, it's man show. They said, oh, can we just book you? And at that point, arguably, I'm a bigger celebrity than Jimmy is because it's 5-6 years ago and I'm doing Loveline and the man show. Yeah. I think at this time he's just doing, we're doing the man show together. So they're like, we don't do teams. We don't do pairs.
Boy, I said, it's well, good thing Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin aren't alive.
Let's go on Smothers Brothers.
I said, well, that's very interesting and something that would probably work for 99% of the comedians, except for I have another partner. I'm that famous.
Yeah.
His name is Dr. Drew, and we've done your show together.
Ooh.
So it is bizarre. And again, if there's a comedy team and you want to use the we don't book pairs card, you're not going to get called out on it very often. But you're talking to the one guy on the planet who has another partner and who has done your show alone and with Dr. Drew. So they do pairs. Obviously, they were desperate for guests because it was 9/11. And still, they would not take me.
Yeah.
And that means I crossed the line at some point. And I say for that, they're pussies.
Well, they're afraid. I mean, people are just getting scared. I mean, when I did last time, when I did Kimmel, you know, they wanted me to do this routine about Siegfried and Roy. And I made a mention there.
Oh,
about
Kimmel says you're banned, by the way. Want me to pass that along. But go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sure. So they hear the set, they clear it, and then they get an email like an hour before the show from ABC Disney saying that I cannot say that Siegfried and Roy are gay because they're not. So I guess Roy was his first time with me. So
he's experimenting. Yeah.
They're not gay. And I said, they said, how about two fruity guys?
Right.
Fruity. So I said, what does fruity mean? They said, gay. I said, well, if you're gay and you're offended by that, then the fruity would be worse than to say gay. I said, why don't I just say two Judy Garland fans? And they said, perfect. And I said, okay, you guys are out of your mind. I think that Kimmel's demographic is going to know who Judy Garland is.
No, they're not even aware.
They're so scared that you're going to do.
Nobody calls. Nobody does anything. We just all censor ourselves.
Nobody's watching.
And give you a lesser product. How dare you? Robert Schimmel in studio. We need to take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, don't turn on me, Robert. I'm the guy that lets you say gay.
Yeah, I tried to have you banned.
And Fruity.
And he wouldn't let me.
Sure.
Robert's going to be at the Irvine Improv tonight saying Fruity and gay. Tonight, Thursday, and all the way through Sunday night. Jeez. Two shows Friday.
Pending fire damage.
Friday night as well. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I don't know if you're familiar with Terry, my pterodactyl, but Robert, I've had an ass full of many celebrities. Perhaps I should put Conan on this hit list.
Yeah.
I've decided I don't want them killed or destroyed. You know what I mean? It's like Eva Longoria is a pain in the ass. I'm tired of hearing about her going on shopping sprees on Entertainment Tonight. I'm tired of finding out that she rescued a cat this weekend and deserves deserves to be hailed as a queen. I don't want her to die in a fiery car wreck. I don't want her to get cancer, but I would like her to go away. So I decided I would enlist the help of a pterodactyl who would swoop down, pick up blowhard celebrities, and drop them into a volcano somewhere far away, and that would be the end of them. Plus, it'd be very satisfying to watch. 866-901-ADAM. Who do you want taken away? I was watching Entertainment Tonight last night and have some lovely clips about a couple I've never put on the list before who Terry's going to be going through, but Bob will have his, and Danny will have his, and T will have hers, and we'll do that next on The Adam Carolla Show.
The Adam Carolla Show and Miller Lite present Blotto in the Grotto, live at the Playboy Mansion.
Behind these walls, a world of madness and brutality within.
With Adam Carolla.
The brain of an insane genius.
Teresa Strasser.
The female breast can be deadly.
And Danny Bonaducci.
Created from the bodies of the criminally insane.
Featuring Hugh Hefner.
Rising from his tomb.
The deaf rat guy.
A terrifying story that could happen to the kids in your neighborhood.
David Alan Greer.
Dracula's soul brother.
Larry Miller.
This monster from hell.
And a costume contest that could send you to Sin City for 3 days at the Planet Hollywood Resort, thanks to TravelWorm.com.
We have painted a bloody picture, but it is only a small part of what actually takes place in
Blotto in the Grotto. Listen to the broadcast Friday morning.
If you have a strong constitution, we challenge you to test it and sit through
Blotto in the Grotto. Tonight, live at the Playboy Mansion with the Adam Carolla Show.
Robert Schimmel in studio. He's going to be at the Irvine Improv tonight through Sunday. Two shows Friday night. Please, no smoking. He's recovering from cancer. Robert, have you...
I'm recovered.
You're recovered. Sure you are.
Well, then why can't we smoke?
That's a good question. I thought it sounded good in the beginning, and... Well, because I don't want to breathe it in. I don't, you know, it's not, there are other people that don't smoke that are in the show, so.
Actually, in the lobby. It doesn't matter in Irvine, right? You can't smoke no matter who. It's, you could actually be in an iron lung and or not. You still can't smoke.
In Calabasas, I don't think you could smoke.
You can't smoke anywhere.
I don't think you can smoke in your own house.
Yeah.
In Beverly Hills, you can't just smoke on the sidewalk.
You can't?
Nope.
No, you can't.
I've actually been fined $6,500 collectively for smoking.
You can't smoke in a park, I think, in Calabasas. I think you can't smoke in any public area or anything that would be. And then there's all these rules. And again, I'm not for kids breathing in secondhand smoke. On the other hand, we are raising a whole bushel of pussies who you can't eat peanuts next to or light a cigarette next to.
I just went through that last week. I went to the parent-teacher conference. My wife said, why don't you go? You never go. And I went in there. I thought I was in a Weight Watchers meeting. And all these
nothing but food talk.
Yeah, that and just really heavy people. And they're saying do not send any peanut butter sandwiches because kids share food and somebody could be allergic. And then, you know, that's it. Then they got like a big thing on their hands.
Well, as I'd mentioned earlier this week when I watched 60 Minutes, they were talking about the famine in Niger. Or wherever they're calling it. I think the Bush people changed it. It used to be Niger, but when that pops
Michael
up...
Michael Richards has another way of saying
right,
that.
Right, I'm just saying, all they need is Bush up there getting a little confused with the teleprompter in order.
Strategery.
Those are some mighty good Niger... So I think the folks in the Bush administration decided to start calling it Niger instead of Niger, whatever it was, but... They have a product called Plumpy Nut, which is peanut butter and milk solids and sugar, and it's saving all the kids that are dying of malnutrition. And when Anderson Cooper asked with saucer-sized eyes to the chick from Doctors Without Borders, by the way, there's a band. Forget about Men Without Hats. How about Doctors Without Borders? He says very earnestly, but what about peanut allergies? I mean, you have all these infant children over here. What about allergies? And she goes, oh, that doesn't exist. And it's like, oh, she's right. You see, when you're dying, all of a sudden you're not allergic to it. When you're fat and you're from Calabasas and your mom's a hypochondriac and she's going through menopause, then all of a sudden peanuts are going to kill you. But when you're living on a dirt floor and there's flies buzzing all around you, then all of a sudden nobody allergic to peanuts.
Which questions I go with, what message are they sending our children? Because they're recently taught my 12-year-old daughter the proper way to put on a condom. How do I make sure condoms are put on correctly and to make sure that people are aware of carrying condoms?
I know.
They want no peanuts for my 12-year-old.
I know.
Condoms.
They show my daughter.
Load my 12-year-old down with condoms, but don't let her bring a peanut to school.
Schimmel was talking to me.
Cucumber.
Yeah.
Really?
That's
how
they roll
come?
It down a cucumber. And I said, boy, are they setting her up for a lifetime.
Yeah. Actually, put it on a peanut. That'd be more realistic. Schimmel was telling me during the commercial he's pissed off because they put it in their mouth first and then put it into the cucumber. And he said, that's out of line.
Oh, man.
And the stripper pole, he was able to look the other way on, but not this.
Just the fact that you even know that makes me very proud of you.
All right. Well, we were talking before we went to break about Terry, my pterodactyl, lives high upon the Arco Tower. He's posing as a gargoyle until he hears this, my silent whistle. That's it. And then he springs into action. He swoops down over the red carpet. He picks up celebrities and he drops them in a volcano now.
Does he know right now not to have reacted to that particular song and whistle?
He knows he has to hear it twice.
Oh, okay.
First one is just a test. Like that thing you have with the phone. We do, I'll ring once and then hang up. Right. And that means it's okay to pick up. I don't know who invented that one. I think the same guy who decided we should set our clocks ahead 12 minutes so we'll think it's earlier and then we'll be on time. I think the cousin of that guy invented the one ring hang up.
Yeah.
We have a cue. Let's hear it.
Swooping down from the Arco Tower, it's Adam's pterodactyl. You can run, but you can't hide.
But one thing we figured out last week, I mean, there's all the usual names. We went Pat O'Brien and Halle Berry and Mark Anthony and J-Lo and all those idiots dumped into the volcano. But something we stumbled on last week, Michael Stipe. Somebody said, we need to throw Michael Stipe in the volcano. And I thought, well, he's so morose and tormented and gay and everything else. But does he deserve the volcano? And then I decided he needs to be dropped at a water park. He needs to let whatever's left of his hair down, throw his hands up, crack a beer, and just enjoy himself. You know what I mean? I'm going to ask Terry to drop him at a water park, see if he can't get it together. If he can't, he'll go into the volcano.
I think it will take more work on mostly your part, so I don't mind. But I think there should be a list of celebrities that need to be dropped off in the water park.
Maybe you're right.
I love Michael Stipe, but you're right. You know what a disappointment would be to watch him dropped into a volcano? Because he wouldn't care.
Mm-hmm.
He'd think, I deserve this.
Yeah.
I'm okay with this. I'm fine. He needs to be dropped off somewhere and made to laugh out loud like
a kid.
I
deserve this.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think he knows.
He needs to laugh like a kid getting his tummy tickled.
I gotta tell you something, Schimmel. Most of these guys have made their peace before they go into the volcano.
Yeah.
It's like the guys that take the long walk to the gas chamber or the electric chair. They don't struggle. They understand what's happening.
Well,
and thank God they're not going in head first, because, again, that's the ultimate insult.
I know of at least two people in this room I truly believe, and I know positive for one, if they stepped off the curb and just looked in time to see the bus that was about to kill them coming, they'd go, what took you?
Yes.
Okay, there are some people that are just waiting.
Hey, Schimmel?
Yeah.
Do you have anyone you want in, or shall I start, or should we talk to our callers? Because they have some good ones, too.
I think we put Schimmel at a disadvantage if you don't drop someone in first.
All right. I'm going to go with, do we have the clip? Because this is what reminded me to do it. I was watching Extra last night. By the way, I'm going to drop my kids in a volcano because the only thing I have in life is my TiVo and my bad entertainment shows. And every night about 7 o'clock, I pull up to the table and we eat dinner with the family. Except for I don't eat dinner, I watch TiVo, which is on the TV behind my wife's head, and I try to see what's going on. I want to know what Brangelina's up to or whatever the hell. And my kids start crying because they can't handle anything but Sesame Street, and what happens is they start slapping Lynette's hands. When she goes to feed them, they start slapping and flailing. So she screams at me, put Elmo on. And then every night I have to eat and watch Elmo eating while I'm eating. It's the only way the kids will settle down enough to eat. But I did catch the first 4 minutes of Entertainment Tonight. I think it was Extra last night, and before I switched Elmo, and I saw this.
You got to put each other first. You know, she will always be number one.
Seal proclaims his love for his wife, supermodel Heidi Klum, on Oprah, but are they so in love that they're getting married again? Yes.
I heard that you guys get married every year.
You do.
I have the most romantic husband.
No,
who? Yeah. I'm yelling, move your head. I can't see the TV set. And Seal's talking about getting married every year to Heidi Klum. They sit on Oprah. The wives watch the Oprah. Then you come home that day and they're PO'd and you're like, what's up? You know that Seal gets married every year to Heidi Klum, and then you make this mistake? Well, she's a piece of ass. I mean, I'd marry her every 6 months. Now you're in deeper.
Yeah, no kidding.
All she does is make gazillions of dollars making crappy shows and selling like maternity garb. He hasn't had a hit song in 20 years, yet they're so in love and they're so happy. And I just want them both into that volcano.
Wow. Well, I think I've finally seen some sort of flaw in you. That, not that you don't see in yourself, because I know that you know you have flaws, but the advice that you give that I follow almost always works. Mm-hmm. I hate it. I really like if I'd go home sometime and he'd give me advice and I'd go, well, Adam sucks. This is stupid. But it never happens. It's usually sound advice. Here, I'm going to give you some advice. Stop caring what the women in your life think. At all. They come home and they go, I am so disappointed. You're crying, tears crying down their face that you could actually have done something so heinous to them and your family. And how could you have done this? You just go, are you still talking?
Yeah, I think
stop caring.
Part of the problem is the not caring part.
I don't care at all.
The other guy, like,
still talking.
The other guy.
Are you still moving? Are you still talking to me? I don't know who she was. Who cares?
Oh, this guy. Seal. In there with Heidi. And you want to talk about no different. There's nobody further apart physically than Heidi Klum and Seal.
Like that's why they're going to have a cute kid.
The most, the blondest, lightest, fairest person on the planet, the blackest, baldest man in the universe unite. And, they're getting married again. Isn't that awesome? The other guy went tossed in, and I don't even know why. Is a Wyclef
Jean.
Yes. Why? He bothers me. What's up? That's how come? What's he done? I don't know. There's certain guys I just get a bad feeling about. It's like, sorry. Terry's throwing you in the volcano.
I feel that way. I have something I want to throw in, and it's for the most shallow reason. I feel bad.
Well, go ahead.
Okay. This woman has gotten a lot of press lately.
Take out the garbage, baby.
Okay. It was for a really nice reason. She was on Oprah, and she's written a book about her autistic son, and I think that's great.
Oh,
but listen,
that bitch.
She's got a crazy haircut. And it makes no sense. It falls down in front, and all she does for an hour on Oprah is move the hair away from her face.
Wow.
I had to watch. I had
can't
to
take it.
Yeah, do we want to know who this is?
Yeah, desperately.
Yeah, this is, what's her name?
Jenny McCarthy.
Jim Carrey. Miss
Jim
Carrey.
Have you seen her crazy haircut?
Yes.
She did Oprah for 1 hour. She has a kind of a bob. Think Mary Tyler Moore first season. And she has a bang that's 21 inches long, but the back of her head's 4 inches long. And she has this big thing that comes. It's like a croissant roll falling in front of your face every 10 seconds. It's that sort of thing. It's like, you know that thing that's on a hinge and you slide it, you roll it up, and then somebody knocks on the door and it falls back down again? It was like this bang would fall in front of her face every 10 seconds and she would do that swoop thing and then it would fall down again and it would swoop thing. You know who I want in the volcano? Every blowhard, long-haired guy with bangs who does that move, does that finger move where they peel the bang back, but it falls directly
where it
was and then you do it again. Does that guy, by the way, go home and open his curtains that way, like pull them apart, hold them for a second, let them go, they fall shut again, and then open them? Or do you just put them behind something or cut them off?
I agree. The entire time Jenny McCarthy was on Oprah talking about autism, I wanted to listen, but why didn't she just take her hair and put it behind her ear?
I'm saying to my wife, we watched the whole thing. I was like, wow, this autism is horrible. But
yeah.
Let's go get some hair products. I don't know why.
I'm compelled
to get something.
I'd like to point out that at 8:10 on Thursday the 25th, this is the only moment this has ever happened to me. I'm in a moral quandary.
Why?
And that's hard to do when you have almost no morals at all. But I want to agree with you and rip her apart right now, but there's this super hot chick on MySpace, and next to her picture is Remember to Fight Autism. So if I go with you right now, I'm never going to bang that
girl. I want to fight autism, but can Jenny McCarthy do it without distracting us with her weird hairdo?
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to go with that and still get the chick on MySpace. My mind was fixed.
I agree. Thank and she has screwed me over 1,000 times.
The chick
I'm
on MySpace?
Done with her, Jenny McCarthy. Oh. I went and did that bitch's Candy's PSA crappy commercial for an effing 8-hour. I went to the hubs of hell, otherwise known as Chatsworth, and spent an entire Saturday doing some PSA for her crappy charity about 6 years ago when she was married to the first sap she hooked up with. Oh. I spent 8 hours doing a tough shoot. We all know the difference between easy lifting and light lifting. Mm-hmm. You know, you're doing some presentation at some award show where you just walk out there and read the teleprompter for 10 seconds. And stuff that is work. Memorizing, look at the jib camera, then turn to that thing. I mean, there's a part of this business that can turn into work. That was a 9-hour effing freebie on a Saturday in crappy Chatsworth. When I was done, 1,000 thank yous, and I'm at your beck and call, right back at you, anything you ever need. She then proceeded to cancel her next 5 Loveline appearances. One time we sent a car for her. She didn't come down for the car. And then when she dropped out of this show a few times, I finally called her on it. And then when I had her on the phone, I said, hey, why don't you go wake up Jim Carrey and hand him the phone? And she said, I don't think that's going to happen. And I said, remember the time I spent 9 hours doing your crappy Candy's PSA about kids without heels or whatever the F it was? There's some kids that have shoes that aren't open-toed. I said, espadrilles for infants or whatever the F it was. I said, remember that? She said, yeah. I said, now hand Jim Carrey the phone. She said, no can do. F you. F you. I can't stand that in a human being. If you do someone a solid, fine. I love it. But when that person says, hey, now I need a ride to the airport, you don't tell them to F off. Obviously, she's only interested in herself. Who cares about her? Plus, she's made $1 billion off her kid's autism. And the kid's fine, by the way. No, I'm sounding like an a-hole because I saw the kid.
Wow,
the kid's fine.
Are sounding like an a-hole.
She nursed him back to health. She gave him health. And plus, she's one of these crazy. Plus, she's on this crazy inoculation kick. Like somehow that's what causes all the autism.
A lot of the moms think it didn't exist before.
Okay, what are we all, just superstitious natives? Like a plane crashes and before that there was a Major League baseball game, so we have to cancel all baseball games because that's what causes planes to crash. Inoculations save more kids than give kids autism. I'd love to see some numbers on that. You and your baddie friends on the internet are not scientists. Just do the part where you get your hair out of your face and cancel on this show and let the scientists handle the scientific work. Thank you.
Wow. Adam Carolla wants to kill hot chicks with sick kids. That rocks, dude. I don't know how long it took you to come away to my way of thinking.
Look,
let's kill some hot chicks and give us a hard time. Shine their sick kids.
Jenny McCarthy, the last thing you're going to see when you're moving your bangs out of your... And Teresa.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I want to find that and do a bang movement count.
It had to be in the 30s.
Oh, that was just during the first segment.
It drove me nuts.
Yes. Jenny McCarthy, you will move the bangs out of your face. You will see a volcano, and that will be the last time you move hair.
Don't take the child.
No, leave the child here to fend for itself.
You want Jim Carrey to raise that kid?
Yeah, apparently Jim Carrey loves the kid.
That was another thing. Oh, and God brought me an angel, and his name is Jim Carrey. Oh, God, talking about God talking to her and her talking to God. And that super blowhardy, I didn't know what he wanted me to do. So I sat down, and I just sat there, and I said, God, bring me an angel. And the phone rang, and it was Jim Carrey.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. I'm sure there's a lot of chicks
home. It's a good
home.
Thing it wasn't the LA Times calling to see if you wanted to order the paper.
What does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything.
I get those calls all the time. And, you know, there are those sales calls on the phone, I always answer yelling, going, is this the guy you're doing it with?
smart.
He thinks that I'm on the road now, and they hang up right away. They never go, hey, no, I'm selling this. They're just gone. You know, gone right away.
You know what I do? This always works. I don't know how it came to me one day. I just did it, and now it always works. Hi, you want the LA Times? I get it every day. I love it. It's delivered to my door. Oh, sorry, sir. Boom. Whatever service they're offering, I say, I have it. Thanks. You guys are great. And they go, oh, sorry we bothered you. And they hang right up.
Smart.
Yeah.
Hey, Troy?
Yes, sir.
You want who thrown into the volcano?
I want him thrown in so bad it's not even funny.
Who?
Christian Slater.
Christian Slater. I would have liked him tossed in the late 80s, early 90s, but now he's kind of off my radar.
Yeah, what is it?
I got stuck watching Cuff on HBO yesterday.
Wow.
And the only person that should be allowed to look at the camera during a movie is Burt Reynolds in Smoking the Bandit.
Oh, he did that third wall breakdown, look at the camera move.
And talk.
I don't know if I can retroactively throw people in the volcano. I don't know if there's a statute of limitations.
Yeah, he's
you know?
On good behavior, and I liked Untamed Heart.
I like the fact that we're working this out right now.
Hey, Troy.
Because there's also the don't forget about the water parks. Got to work out eventually,
too. He beat up his wife in Canada, though.
All right.
An incident at a strip club.
Hold on. You're saying that's a plus or minus? I'm confused now.
Yeah.
It's because she got mad because she had to watch Cuffs also.
All right. Well, Troy, I'll tell you what. I'll drop him off over in San Dimas at the water park. We'll see how things go.
All right.
Okay?
Good enough.
And the guys, I really don't like get dropped off at the water park during the winter months when the Hurricane Harbor's frozen over.
I'm telling you right now, he'll laugh out loud. Slater's a good boy.
All right.
He was taking a hike. I'd never met him before in my life. I used to live at the top of Runyon Canyon. He's shirtless with a golf club for the rattlesnakes. And he's with Ryan, I think is her name, the wife.
I think.
And I'm thinking, if my wife comes out of the kitchen and sees Christian Slater in my house shirtless, she'll think I'm the coolest guy in the whole world. And he goes, hey, Danny Bonaduce. I grew up watching him. Big fan. I go, really? I just moved in the neighborhood. Want to see my house? And he said, yes. And my wife came out of the kitchen, and there was a shirtless Christian Slater with a golf club going, hi, you must be Gretchen. I saw you on a talk show.
Yeah.
The guy made me king for like 3 years.
My folks have the same story, Danny.
The guy made me king.
Should we talk to Diane? Who else? Who do you want to talk to? Who do you like?
Can I throw one that you won't care about?
Yeah.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Ooh.
Why are you
wow. Interesting. My wife said, let's toss her in, too.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
I didn't think anybody'd care enough.
I've turned her over to the dark side. She was the world's nicest human being before I met her.
Now she's
like, toss him
in the volcano.
Yeah. And here's why I can't toss Jennifer Love Hewitt in there.
Bobby!
Yeah. There you go.
That's it.
In one word.
She has a smoking body.
I gotta tell you this. As I've said, there's a handful of celebrities that are going in, and first they need to stop by the Ace Man's pad for some unfinished business, and then during the refractory period, right into the volcano.
But Adam, she's got the crazy eyes.
You won't care enough.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
I don't know. She told me many years ago, she insisted that I call her Love.
Right in. That's the end. There are many boobs in this world.
I thought one day I will send you into a volcano, but I can't. I got to tell you, can we wait until she gets into her 40s? Because I just feel like there's a lot of good left on her.
You're right.
See, you're saying you're going to wait till you've had your way with her, and during your refractory period, that's when she goes in. But during
that's right.
Every guy is the same. You know that during that moment, you'll just go, was I going to throw her in a volcano or buy her a Volvo? What would I care about a minute ago? Because I don't care anymore.
Right.
She got off. You just won't care. You won't care if that woman lives or dies for the next 20 minutes.
Schimmel. Same thing. Both funny guys. Schimmel.
Yeah.
You have anyone you want to toss in before I take myself a break?
Probably my first agent, but he's not really famous.
Oh, really? Well, you can still go after him.
What'd he do to you?
He didn't do anything. He just didn't do anything. You know, when you're sitting down at dinner with somebody and they say, you know, this is how it works, Bob. You know, we're like heat-seeking missiles. And when you're hot, then we can do stuff for you. And when we're not, then we pay attention to other people. And I go, great. And then I had to pick up the check for the dinner. And the guy said, you're dirty. You're talking about, you know, going to the bathroom and masturbating. And, you know, where are you going to go with that? And, you know, he wanted me to be like Gary Shandling or Gallagher. And so.
Yeah.
So I didn't listen to him. Look at me now.
Yeah, where is he now?
Well, you got to remember something, though. This is a guy that is making his living off 10% of you. He wasn't having a good year that year either.
Yeah, it's tough. I've taken a tough road.
So, do you you want to talk off the air about where Terry can find this guy?
Off air? It's on Sunset Boulevard.
Does he do lunch at any certain times or any eatery? When does he walk out to his car? Yeah, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Does he drive a convertible?
He's one of those people that said they would never.
Tattoos, anything?
He's one of those people that said they would never drive a German car after what happened in World War II, even though they weren't there. And
right.
And then they have a Mercedes, like S500, mm-hmm. And you go, what about that? And they said, have you ever driven one of these? So
I'm really glad you're being secretive, because when he gets to local locations and distinguishing marks...
People show up.
No, he's not really talking about Terry anymore. Now he's talking about me. This is where he goes, off the air, he goes, I really can't send Terry for that guy, but just go by his office and smack him around a little bit.
Let's work it out this time, though, because... I don't want the mistake we had last time where Terry grabs you by mistake.
Yeah, I hate that.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. Danny, because the volcano smokes, is attracted to it.
Right.
Like a moth to the light. We need to take ourselves a break. Robert Schimmel, Irvine Improv, tonight through Sunday. Two big shows on Friday night. Quick break. When we come back, we have the results to the Ace team over at the Playboy Mansion. We have our stoner winner. You can go to AdamCarolla.com and see him, I do believe. We'll take a quick break.
Dude.
Do that next.
In 2006, the Adam Carolla Show went to the Playboy Mansion for Blotto in the Grotto. This year, Adam wants to assemble a crew of crack party commandos. So if you're a party veteran and you want to crash the Playboy Mansion, call 866-901-ADAM and maybe you can join. The Ace Team.
Well, quick recap. We had Playboy tickets. We thought, who wants to go and what do they have to do to go? And I just started thinking, well, I want a guy with a huge head to stand next to me when I take photos so I don't look like the guy with the big head. And then I thought, well, if I got the guy next to me in the photo, where's Teresa's chick with the big schnoz? And where's Danny's short dude with the red hair? And then where is producer Angie's chick wearing the lampshade with a dress pulled up over her head? And those little bubbles coming out of her head, which lets you know she's effervescent and drunk. Because producer Angie's going to get loaded tonight. And then what about Dawson? Dawson is going to light himself up like a Roman candle. That's
dude.
The way he works.
Right.
Last time we did one of these shows, halfway into the show, he asked, because he's a great employee, is it cool?
I waited for you, man.
Is it cool if I get stoned? So what happens, the way the show usually works is Dawson does all the reads, and the beginning of the show sounds like him going, this is the Adam Carolla Show live from the Playboy Mansion, Blotto in the Grotto 07, and now, without any further ado, the Ace Man. Then, about 4 hours in, 27 Miller chills and 5 bong loads, it goes like this. Dear N words! You... Hey, dude. You want some? Well, what are you looking at, dude? Hey, man. That's... Trombone's my middle name. Huh? Oh, yeah. Trouble! It's my middle name, dude. Step up, then. Step up or step off. Well, then, then bring it.
Dude.
You know where to find it. You want it, you got it, man. I will
dude.
Open a bong, a whoop... Water. Here's Ace.
Dude.
Oh, wait a minute. I got an addendum. This job sucks. I'm twice as funny and sound twice as cool as Bonaducci. And y'all can kiss my Hesher ass. Now here's the Ace, man. That's what happens to Dawson hour four into the show.
We all devolve.
Right. Now, what we needed is a guy to take a picture that looked more stone than Dawson again, so it evens things out. We came up with Michael Silveira. He got 33% of the vote. If you go to AdamCarolla.com, you see a guy wearing a gas mask and holding a bong that's attached to it. That would be Michael.
Wow.
Now, Michael's the number one vote getter. Michael?
Yeah.
You have an issue with tonight, though.
Dude, it's not fair.
What's happening, dude?
I'm stuck at work, man. I called in sick yesterday because someone broke into my car, of all things. So I can't call in tomorrow.
And you can't get one of your buddies, like Guy Dude Bro, to cover for you?
Shit, I wish.
Wait. What do you do for a living?
I'm a sign designer. A graphic designer.
And you work for a specific company that has a name. Don't say it, but you do work for a specific company that does have a name, correct?
Definitely.
Well, we have millions and millions of listeners, and it could go one of two ways. Company of said name could suck, and you should never do business with them again because they kept this wonderful guy from our party. Or you could come to our party, and we would go out of our way to say what great sign companies they are. And if you ever need a sign, go to that company.
Danny, I will tell you the one flaw in that idea.
Yeah.
When he says graphic designer, he means doodles, German half tracks on IHOP placemats. He doesn't actually get paid for it. He just sits home.
The whole blackmail thing won't work.
I got to tell you, we do have runners up, and there's a guy who's got a 4-foot bong on top of which is a Scooby-Doo head that he's smoking out of.
Yeah. I know, and he only got 20% of the vote, which means everyone who listens is stoned as well. Hey, Michael?
Yeah?
If you can't make it, I got to do the do, namely Scooby.
Yeah.
All right, brother?
This is an opportunity to
Wait a minute. Was that the F word?
Yeah, sure was.
Oh, man, dude, bro.
He just yelled the F word into
the
mic.
I've just never heard such a puss in my whole life, I don't think.
Well, where was he? In the Bay Area or South Bay? He was in range.
I don't care. If you called me up and said, hey, this is Adam Carolla, and you win, you're going to the Blotto and the Grotto with us, I would say, well, my wife just caught fire, but okay.
Yeah, I didn't go to work when I worked for no reason. I just wake up and go, F it.
Yeah.
Forget about the Playboy Mansion.
The Playboy Mansion, Blotto and the Grotto with the Ace Man with their show, Teresa, who might get drunk and naked. You don't know.
I'm definitely getting drunk.
Definitely going to be hitting the Jamesons.
And by the way, Adam, you say you're hitting the Kush.
I may hit the Kush.
Can I know what the Kush, like, where does that come from? I need to know.
It comes from Jamaica and Mexico.
But why is it called Kush?
I don't know. The thing about stoners is they react to texture and sound more than they do actual words and taste and meaning. You know
so
what I mean?
So it's not short for anything, like cushion.
I don't know. Why?
Maybe we should ask Scooby-Doo.
What are you, some kind of narc?
I would just like to say at this very moment.
I like to understand.
I will be hitting nothing because it has a lawyer. So whatever it is, I'm not hitting it tonight at the Playboy Mansion.
I'm hitting the cush. Ian?
What's up, Adam?
Now, you on AdamCarolla.com can be seen wearing a Scooby-Doo head.
I certainly am.
And it looks like you're wearing a Scooby-Doo outfit as well.
Yeah, that was Halloween 2 years ago.
And you're hitting a 5-foot bong?
It's about 4.5-footer.
Okay. Wow, is my face
and
red.
Do you know,
I was just going to say, and his name's also Corinne.
What is the Kush as opposed to the Chronic?
Well, Kush specifically comes from Afghanistan. Chronic is just a term used to describe any high-quality marijuana.
So Kush comes from, it's like champagne.
Okay.
Has to come from that region of France.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's sparkling
wine. Yeah.
But
okay.
Thank you, son. We do realize that we are now, if we're getting the Kush, sending money to Afghanistan.
That's right to the terrorists.
But it's for a worthy cause. It's going to my head, man.
Hey, I didn't say it would stop me. I just said I was figuring that part of the, you know, puzzle.
Hey, Partridge, dude, quit harshing my mouth.
Yeah.
Dude.
Ian?
Yeah.
Hey, let's hear that whole Dawson drop.
Dude, I waited for you, man.
He was talking to the guy who sold him the Kush. Ian, you know what's funny about your picture? If you look at the picture, you see the guy front and center. That's Ian with the Scooby-Doo head hitting the 4.5-foot bong. But if you look just to the right, you have someone that looks a lot like Mike Dawson, the man we modeled this after.
Sure, he's got the shants.
Yeah.
And the flip-flops.
So can you make it to the Playboy Mansion tonight?
You know what? I'll have to move some things around, but I will be there, Adam.
I waited for you, man.
He physically means move some crap that's in front of the door of his apartment. Yeah. He's not talking about a schedule. He's talking about a shopping cart.
He's a shut-in, and they just drop the Kush
through
the hole in the
door. Now, listen, we got a guy who sent in a photo of himself smoking the Kush through a Chicken McNugget box.
Nice. Yeah. That's Tyler.
Tyler.
Yeah.
I mean,
honorable mention. We got a guy who's smoking one out of a pumpkin.
Oh,
which
the
again,
pumpkin is seasonal.
Now you've taken a theme and woven it into this lovely
fabric. Can we talk to the pumpkin guy?
Stone. What, where's
looks like
he
he's on
three?
Line four.
Oh, I hit three. Sorry. Hey, Devin?
Dev, yeah, what's going on, Adam?
Smoking out of a pumpkin.
I am. I was smoking out of a pumpkin.
Nice. And, yeah, hey, Devin, here's the problem. We already have a winner.
Oh, come on, Adam.
That guy didn't sound very enthusiastic about the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah,
he has to move things
Adam,
around.
I would love to go, man. I've been listening to you for a long time.
Mm.
What's Adam's middle name?
Lakers.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
I've been listening to you since Dr. G, you and Dr. Drew, like when I was in junior high, Adam. Come on.
Mm-hmm. And now look at you. You're a ripe old age of 23 and smoking dope out of a gourd. My, all that hard work paid off that Drew and I did over
those
years.
You influenced the young people.
Yeah, Drew would kill himself if I showed him this picture.
Devin, but what
here's
would it
a
mean?
Graduate from your academy, Drew. And here's a pistol.
Maybe,
enjoy it.
Maybe Devin's like Dawson. He has a real job and he functions in society.
Mm. I'm actually going to school right now, Teresa. Thank you for asking.
Mm-hmm.
What are you studying?
Bong design.
no, I'm
and dynamics.
MBA, the B is for bong. What?
I'm studying sociology, actually.
Uh-huh. All right. So
that's
going to
come in helpful.
Yeah.
I feel like soch is something you get with kush.
All right, Devin, hang on a second, because I don't know if we're out of tickets or not.
Yeah.
I think we may be. And look, I'm not, you know, this is a democracy. The people have voted.
You're right.
Scooby-Doo is
but
the vice president, and the president can't make the gig.
Right.
That's true.
That's
thus, the vice president shows up.
The voters couldn't have known that he would show this lack of enthusiasm, whereas Devin knows your middle name.
Yeah, but Scooby was just stoned. Maybe he needs a Scooby snack. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. Teddy, tell Devin to hang on. We'll go ask Angie if she has one more ticket.
We have two tickets, so either we can give a pair to one of them or we can split them up.
They could go together and be a pair of stoners.
Hey, Devin.
I'll pick them up. Yes.
Devin.
I will pick his ass up, whoever it is, wherever it is.
Do you mean physically and carry him there?
Yeah.
That's what it came to?
Good news and bad news. Good news is you're going to the Playboy Mansion. Bad news, you're going to have sex with a guy in a Scooby-Doo outfit with a 5-foot bong tonight.
Where's the bad news?
All right, hang on. We'll split the pair.
Right.
We'll take a break. Let's see. When we come back, how about a little rich man, poor man? What's rich man, poor man? Well, it's been a while. I'll give you a quick heads up, and then you give us ours. I was sitting in Kimmel's office a couple of years ago, and I started thinking about outdoor showers. And I thought, if you're showering outdoors, you're either really rich or you're really effing poor. And then I thought, what else do the rich and the poor and the middle class have or not share? And I thought, lots of cars. Rich man has a whole collection in his 10-car garage. Poor guy's got the rusted-out El Camino up on blocks on the lawn and the broken-down van in the driveway. But the middle class just has, old lady's got the wagon and you got the Taurus. That's the way it works. Rich man, poor man, I think was inspired by Hef in his pajamas. Rich guy, pajamas all day. Poor guy, pajamas all day.
Yes.
There's no such thing as a school teacher or an electrician or a plumber who walks around in his pajamas all day. The middle class, no PJs. Take a quick break. Rich man, poor man, next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show and time for a little rich man, poor man.
These are things that rich people and poor people have in common.
Smoking cigarettes in the house.
Mm-hmm. The super rich, they have smoking rooms. And then the poor people will give their toddler drag off their Winston.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yep, some other things the rich and the poor share. Driven to the airport. Middle class drive themselves. Poor guys got to get rides from people to the airport. You're in the back of their crappy Hyundai Sonata. And then the rich guy's in the back of the town car. Kids out of wedlock. It is weird how much they share, you know. Hunting, exotic game, eating crazy, wild, whatever. I mean, for some, they do it out of necessity, and then the rich guy just does it for the sport of it.
Yeah, but the rich guy's doing wild boar, and the poor guy's doing your dog.
Yes, and adjacent to that is making your own exotic alcohol.
Right.
You know, rich guys have wineries.
Mm-hmm.
Poor guys are just making mash.
866-901-ADAM. If you want to contribute to the list, let's do the intro.
Rich man. Poor man.
Wow. That's the intro?
Yeah. I thought you could afford, as a rich man, a better intro than that.
You would think, yeah. How about this one? Statues in general, especially on the lawn, but just statues. I feel like there's a lot of poor immigrant people with the Virgin Mary and things like that on their dashboard or on their lawn. It's just crappy stuff made of plaster Paris. And then there's the rich guy. There is the, you know, Randolph Hearst kind of statues. Middle class, a little light in the statue department. The only statue we had was the lawn jockey. But then that sort of went racially out of bounds, so we started painting him white.
Yeah, that was weird.
Then it turned into a crappy lawn jockey. I mean, I'd rather be a guy with no lawn jockey than a guy with a white lawn jockey.
I don't mean to trump you, but remember the guy from the Middle East that had the mansion with the flesh-colored statues with the real pubic hair?
Mm-hmm.
I was glad when they burnt that house to the ground.
I wasn't. Those were my pubes. Did he take over?
I'm so sorry. Okay.
Sorry, Adam, I didn't know.
Now, I think that our phone lines may be temporarily down. We're having some technical difficulties.
I had a guy, I went out for my very first smoke break this morning, of which I'm doing incredibly well, by the way.
You really are.
Thank you. And he pulled up in his truck in a big hurry, and he goes, are you guys taking any phone calls? Adam had just done his whole thing about this is the time to get us is now, and our phone lines went up, and we were talking like crazy. I said, yeah. He said, well, your phone lines are down. That was 3 hours ago.
Well, it's going to be difficult, but we're going to have to figure out a way to get through this break without any calls, people. Are you up to it?
Wow.
Can you imagine, Corolla? Can you imagine doing a segment without taking a call?
Bonaducci, for just 5 minutes, I'm going to need you to climb out of your shell.
All right, you got it, buddy.
Step up to the mic.
I'm ready to go when you are.
Own your own swords.
Oh, my God.
That is a rich man, poor man gig right there. You have the family heirlooms, the guys who fought, you know, in the Civil War and fought along Napoleon. And then you just have the thing that protects you from the meth heads or the thing that the poor guy who needs a hit of crack dropped off because it's his last possession. For some reason, the sword is the last thing you hawk. Here's how it works. You hawk tools first, then you hawk instruments, and then you do instruments of death.
Wow.
That's the way it works.
That's interesting. I will tell you this, that one of the most expensive things I own, because I call my home, my big home that I'm losing, of course, IKEA Gothic. Mm-hmm. Because, like, every third thing is actually real, and then two out of three things are fake, and I'm from IKEA and mock-up. But one of the most expensive things I own is a statue that I just loved. And I just told you yesterday when you said you would fall on your sword, I said you couldn't fall on mine. It's 7 feet long. I have the sword from Braveheart.
I just thought, how did you get that sword?
Well,
and then it's weird living in Hollywood because you have the real replica of whatever.
Right.
Which is funny. It's like having authentic simulated wood grain steering wheels in your car. It's like you have the actual sword from the movie about something that had an actual sword in it.
Right. And there's actually no physical proof that Mel Gibson ever touched this sword. I was talking about the sword and the people that made the swords, and they made five of them, came on the air dressed as knights and presented me with A. Not the. I say the when I'm just being cool about my sword, but in real life, it's A, Braveheart sword, because there was five of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I have one of the five that were made for Mel Gibson in that movie.
What do you think it's worth?
If it's the one, like he never lost one and one never got damaged and it had to be replaced, it's the one from the movie, I would guess $5,000-$6,000, you think? I would have to be a Mel Gibson fan, not a sword fan. It's not anything special. It's just giant.
It's disappointing when you come to Hollywood and you find out there's 18 Batmobiles and 126 Dukes of Hazzard, Daisy Lee cars or General Lee cars. And there's actually five Teresa Strassers who do the show.
Yeah, tell the difference.
We got the one that's in the bad mood today. speaking of cars, how about buying cars at auction? You see, you can either head down to Pebble Beach and raise your paddle and buy yourself $1 million worth of Duesenberg, or you go to the cop auction and you get the either cop car that's being sold at auction, the cop bike, or the drug seizure car.
I go to that one just to buy my old cars back.
I have one. I don't know if you guys will agree.
Hmm.
Have you seen Kate Hudson's kid, Ryder, and his jacked up head of hair. Seems like rich man, poor man, their kids have jacked up hair.
Hold on, I got to talk to Terry.
About Ryder or Kate?
Kate and Ryder. They're both Terry calls snack size.
Ooh.
They're going in the volcano. The kid's ruined already.
It's not his fault they jack up his hair.
I'll tell you what they do with that poor little kid. They have this angelic little blonde kid who has
so
hair
cute.
Down to his ass. His name is Ryder, right?
Yeah.
He's what, 6 years old? Five,
no,
6 years old?
No, he's got to be 3 or something, right?
Oh, we're having some technical problems. All right, so he's 3. Well, I don't know.
He's youngish. Is he 4?
Seems like he was 3 2 years ago is what I'm saying.
He's a toddler.
All right, here's my point. He's got blonde hair down to his waist, and every single person he meets, because he's an angelic little blonde-haired kid, goes, "Hi, little girl. What's your name? Do you really want to F with your kid's already delicate sexuality from 0 to 15 and screw him up and scramble him that badly?" You know, you talk about identity crisis. You have somebody mistaking you for the other gender for the first whatever years of your life because your wife's or your mom is too big a idiot to get you a normal haircut. Everyone thinks Ryder, which, by the way, could be a girl's name, I suppose.
Yeah.
Certainly something I wish more of them would do. Could be a girl's name, but they don't know. They go, "Hi, little girl, what's your name? Hi, little girl, isn't that a cute little girl? You want to scramble your head that much? And then do you want to do the explanation where you go, 'That's not a girl'?" Just give the kid an effing haircut before he gets crabs or lice in it. All right.
Maddox,
I agree with
Jolie
that.
Maddox Jolie Pitt has a crazy haircut. He has
mohawk.
A little mohawk.
I'm going to go with excessive amounts of trash. The rich man buys whatever he wishes, uses it, throws away its container or whatever it came in.
Right.
The poor man collects it in case it is worth anything.
Mm.
So excessive trash.
General pack ratting.
Yeah.
General collections. The poor guy has a collection of domestic beer bottles, and the rich guy has Susan B. Anthony coins. But either way.
You're a dick.
Hmm. Don't take the sword to me, douche man.
Every now and again when he's a mind reader and, like, what was it, the one you said and the lady wasn't that interested that you had said it?
Mm-hmm.
Remember? Yeah. Some lady called you up and said, batting cage.
Batting cage, right.
The vending machine at my last radio station would give you its change in Susan B. Anthony dollars, and I had never even seen one.
Mm.
So I would go in every day with fives and buy something that cost under a dollar. And I'd do it all day long until I emptied the machine.
He had a collection?
And I'd take them. I have, and now had, because I didn't want to move it. I don't know how many they really came out to, because Amy took it to the store. But it must have weighed 100 pounds.
We didn't see trouble coming with the dollar that was the exact same size as the thing that's worth
a quarter of a dollar.
One quarter of that.
Yeah.
Nobody at the Mint raised their hand and went, "Look, I may not be a genius, but I can tell we're heading for trouble by making the denomination feel, look, and weigh as much as a denomination that's worth three quarters less."
That's,
all right.
That's, by the way, like, because I'm a good employee and a pretty bad person, but I actually got in big trouble with the brass. I got an official memo about emptying that machine of the change and what an inconvenience it was for everyone else.
Well, Bonaducci's got the market cornered on Susan B. Anthony.
Also, if I'm not mistaken, your little boy Dante has the long hair.
And always gets called a little girl so often that I don't correct them.
Well, why? Oh, okay.
Why make them feel bad?
You don't correct them. Yeah. Yeah, why make them feel bad? Why screw him up? But aren't you worried about scrambling the boy? Or has that ship already sailed?
There you go, girl. I'm his dad.
Right.
Snuff set.
Right.
You know, if Gretchen doesn't want to cut his hair, because I think it looks cute, too. And it occurred to me
that's
going to scramble.
Yeah.
What's going to scramble that kid forever?
Mm.
You're talking to him.
Yeah, he's been shaking like a paint can already.
Yeah.
The hair's the least of his worries.
The least of his worries.
Right.
The biggest worry other people have is he's going to get bigger soon.
Right.
And then there's going to be another one of me.
No, you know what it's like? You see all the devastating news footage of the houses that are burned to the ground.
He did not start those. I know where he was.
It's like saying before someone tours the devastation and they go, "This is where your house was." And they go, "Yeah, right here was where the front door was." And then the guy starts walking and the guy stops him and goes, "Wipe your feet." That's what cutting the hair on Dante Bonaducci would be tantamount to.
When I first started going to meetings, you know what? I don't go enough anymore than for them to yell at me, "Shut up." When I go to AA, you throw down your keys or something to keep your seat so you can go outside and smoke. I would throw down my keys on one and something else on another seat and say, I'm saving that one for Isabella. And she was seven. I know she's going.
And that other thing was a number two. We need to take ourselves a break.
Yeah, my kid's haircut's going to screw him up, Corolla.
Poor man.
Well, maybe he can go to therapy with young Ryder in a few years. We'll take a quick break. T-Bone.
Yep.
News.
Remember that kid who got tased?
Oh, Florida? I have not heard that drop before.
I know you don't like hearing the kid get tased.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable.
But there's an update to the story. I'm going to tell you what's happened.
Don't tase me, bro! Don't tase me!
All right, did it turn out to be a hoax? Don't say anything. Update on young taser boy next on the news on the Adam Carolla Show. We're going to see the old man tonight.
Yep.
We're coming over to his place. T.
Yep.
News, baby girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
President Bush is coming to town to survey some of the damage in San Diego. He's going to see a few of the sites ravaged by wildfires. Then he's going to have lunch with some rescue workers. Meanwhile, what about a presidential hopeful? Hillary Clinton's 60th birthday is tomorrow. And Bill Clinton posted a message on her website offering up a birthday wish for her as well as for the children.
Hillary's birthday is coming up. She's about to turn 60. My wish for her is simple. To have the opportunity as president to do what she loves best. To help every child in our country live up to his or her God-given potential. What's your birthday wish for Hillary? Let her know. Sign the birthday card for Hillary and let her know what you want for her and for our country. Thanks.
Whoa. Pee whip.
Yeah. Well, why? Just because
I didn't hear her message. All I heard was a whip cracking. That's all I heard. Did he say something?
See, all I heard was send gifts.
I heard piano. I heard a piano and messages. A whip crack. That's all I heard.
I heard that he wants stuff. Give my wife gifts.
I think he just wants well wishes for his wife.
Well, yeah, I think if we think about it, we'll figure out what he wanted.
Let's listen to that message again.
Okay.
Hear anyone talking? I don't hear anyone talking. Look, he just wants her to be president to get her out of the house. It'd be weird, him moving in as the first lady. And by the way, if she wins, he will have to be addressed as the first lady. And dress like Jackie Kennedy. We'll wear a pillbox hat and a smart pants skirt suit. Yeah.
Start redecorating the White House.
That's right. And then do a photo spread in Life magazine.
If anybody can pull it off, it'd be Bill. He'd still get chicks.
Be awesome.
Last month, we talked a lot about 21-year-old Andrew Meyer. He's the University of Florida student who wouldn't stop questioning Senator John Kerry at a campus event. He was restrained by campus police, and even though he begged the officers not to tase him.
Don't tase me, bro! Don't tase me! Ow! Ow!
This is all caught on video, became a monster YouTube sensation.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement released its report on the incident and decided that the officers did not use excessive force on Meyer. The report says that the police tried to remove him from the event, but he broke away and wouldn't listen. So they used a taser instead of, quote, hand strikes, kicks, knees, or baton hits, which would have looked like they were beating Meyer into submission. The two officers who restrained and tasered him had been on administrative leave since the incident on September 17th. Yesterday, they were reinstated.
Oh, please.
Please. What are we doing to the cops?
Well,
I didn't know they were on leave.
What we're doing is we're having them spayed and neutered.
Exactly.
Here's the thing, all you pussies who are crying about getting pepper sprayed or getting tased. If you're standing around putting money in a meter and a cop runs up to you and starts tasing you, by all means, sue his ass off. If he asks you to step aside or come with him or leave the building or whatever, somewhere between the 13th and 122nd time he asks you, be prepared for some tasing.
Absolutely.
And do we want to live in a society where this is an example, where we can't do it? I mean, do we want to live in a society where a law enforcement personnel walks on an airplane and says, excuse me, sir, I need you to come with me. And you go, screw you, dude. And the guy goes, oh, come on. And he goes, shine that noise. And he goes, damn you. And the cop leaves. Right. Is that what we want?
No.
You're not leaving. We asked you to shut up or leave or come with us or relax or stop having a meltdown at the Arizona airport or whatever the F it is you thought would be a good idea to do in public. You've been asked nicely three times to get out of the car or to get on your knees or put your hands by your side. And somewhere around the fourth time, you're going to get the crap beat out of you, and I'm fine with that.
Me too. And I think they prove the cops' case when they make them do it because they are struggling on purpose with a man with a gun.
Yeah, I know.
If you're putting up a struggle against a man with a gun and a license to shoot you, you are by definition ready to be tased.
You know, we need those guys who work over at Yellowstone Park that tell campers what to do when a bear comes around the campsite.
Right.
Like, there needs to be a guy talking to, bunches of retarded Americans that says, when a police officer asks you to get out of your car and then says to drop down to your knees and put your hands behind your head, do not walk at him flailing your arms around yelling, what did I do?
Bring it on.
His gun is drawn and he says, sir, go down to your knees, interlock your fingers and lie face down. Don't flap your arms around like you're at some sort of religious revival camp and come running at the guy. It's really the same thing you do. It's like the bear comes around. Do not move. Do not feed the bear. Do not charge the bear. We know all this when it comes to animals and bears and all stuff. Whatever that little talk they give you before you drive your car through the exotic animal park, let's give it to people about cops. Because
that's a fine move.
That bear is going to mace your ass and then beat your ass with a baton.
Yep. And I think what Teresa's alternative there was, they didn't want to use fists, elbows, knees, or batons.
Right.
Well, if those are the alternatives, they're saying we should have granted his wish. And rather than tased him, use fists, knees, elbows, and batons. Those are the options.
Baton is one of those words like garnish or there's another word I'm always trying to think of. It's casualty. Casualty doesn't sound like a big deal. Sounds casual. Doesn't sound like a bunch of bodies piled up.
Right.
A lot of casualties. Oh, sign me up.
It's got casual right in it.
I know. Yeah. Baton is one of those words, too. It's like, how'd you get the compound fracture of your femur? Baton? Oh, you mean that thing my stepdaughter waves around? The guy with the furry hat. No. Different baton.
Yeah. I've always thought that way about the word chlamydia. It seems like something pretty and flowery.
It really does.
It's not.
From what I understand, it's...
it's itchy and a drag.
Mm. Right.
And plus, it's one of Bobby Brown's kids' names.
That and Your Majesty?
Yeah, we got baton, chlamydia, and casualty. Get out of the pool. Come
on. I put the casual and casualty.
Do you guys remember Debbie Gibson? I think she's now Debra.
Yeah, Debra. I think we're alone now.
Yeah. Or was that the other one?
No, that was begins with an A, and she did Malls.
Tiffany?
It does begin with an A. It begins with a D. Yes, Tiffany.
Tiffany, did I think we're alone now?
By the way, I worked with both of them a month ago. At the same time, on the same night.
Doing what?
Opening a club called, in Vegas.
Polyester
in the Stratosphere. I introduced both of them. Now, to get me on a stage with Debra Gibson and Tiffany, because I have a real job that pays real money, they heaved money at me just to get me to be from that same era and say their names. It was like 25 G's just to say their names.
That was it?
That's a ton of... That's all I had to do for 25 G's.
I like watching you guys because it's like going to someone's house and watching a nice game of charades. Start with an A? A? No.
Tiffany.
Tiffany.
Yeah, Tiffany.
Tiffany. I was playing a club. Club
Polyester.
Vegas. On those. All right.
Well, Debra
Tiffany,
Gibson.
Yes, Debra Gibson.
Debra Gibson. I think we have one of her songs to remind you of her musical stylings. This is a very random celebrity coupling. She's got herself a new man.
Mm-hmm.
Debra Gibson, now 37, is with American Idol former contestant Constantine Maroulis. Is that a weird coupling?
Yes.
He's 32. She's 37. He says to Us Weekly, quote, she's a sweetheart. She's classy, has built a nice career, and doesn't drink or do drugs. We're close, and it's cool.
Nice quote, dude.
Well, she built a nice career in 1987, right? And here's what's going on.
She's at Polyester with Danny Bonaducci.
Actually, I'll bet she was making more money than I did. That's a bad night.
What year What year do you think all this stuff is? Early 90s? Late 80s?
The year I started playing radio, I started radio, I knew we were playing a ton of Debbie Gibson, so it could have been earlier than that, but I know 88 had huge hits.
But you were at a classic rock station, so it must have been around before that. Right, all Gibson all the time. What do you got?
This song for sure is from 89, because it's part of a 89 box set.
All right, so let's do the box set.
I bought an 80s box set a long time ago. This was on the 89 disc.
You brought it to your apartment in a box. It's not a box set.
It was given to me by someone I don't like.
A ton of hits, man.
All right. I didn't know I'd be nestled in between the two biggest Deborah Gibson fans on the planet, but I guess I was wrong. But let me just say this. This is 89, right? So this is 18 years ago, right? Constantine was 13 or 14. Oh, wait, is he 33?
He's 32.
Yeah, he was like 14 years old. So what happened is he was young, just coming on to puberty. Right.
Saw her video.
Saw her videos. He was a singer himself, or an aspiring singer. He was sitting back home in a small town checking out Debbie Gibson, and now he's with her, although he doesn't realize she's not really Debbie Gibson anymore. It's still the young Constantine that's on her.
I had this discussion with Amy the other night because of her, I curse your name and bless you all in the same evening sometimes.
Thank you.
Sometimes I was 14 and listening to Corolla talk about sex, and it's just a little too much, but I don't like it. You know, it gets a little creepy. But then she flips over and does a trick I never saw before my whole 48 years and wants to do it again later. And I think, God bless that, Adam Carolla. Yep, you told her how to do that.
I was the one who poisoned her when she was in junior high.
You told her, and I want to kiss you on the mouth for her, but you don't deserve that.
Hold on, Danny. Big crescendo.
Sorry.
You never step on a Gibson crescendo.
Sorry. Lost in your brown eye.
That's another thing you tell her.
Brian, you would know this more than I would. Didn't she write and compose these songs? She's actually a talented
singer. She's in the Guinness Books of World Records.
God forbid someone make fun of a washed-up pop singer from the 80s, for the love
God
of Christ.
Right.
Don't you guys have some sort of Debbie Gibson meeting to go to?
Get back to the kid with autism before you start making fun of has-beens, bitch.
Oh, my Christ. You what happened to Shock Jock? All right, we need to take a break.
Yes.
Give a tease, and we'll come back and mop up the rest of the news.
A mullet festival in Florida. What could go wrong?
That went off. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Back with the rest of the news next.
Back to Adam, Danny, and Teresa on the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, T-Bone, where were we? That's right, we had a little more news to go.
Okay, perhaps if you decide to spend your weekend at a mullet festival, you can't be upset when you're the victim of some classic redneck violence. But here's what happened to 18-year-old James Suttles.
You people are rednecks.
Mm-hmm. He was at the annual mullet festival in Niceville, Florida. Mm-hmm. It's in the panhandle. Mm. Last weekend, and then he bumped into another guy, an 18-year-old named Ryan McCurley.
Of course he did.
Oh, he didn't have the fro mullet, did he?
I have not seen a photo. I only know his name was McCurley.
Mm-hmm.
Christian name. Apparently, Suttles and McCurley had a history of not getting along. So when they saw each other at the mullet festival, they started to argue. It got violent. McCurley ended up stabbing Suttles in the upper abdomen with his pocket knife. So far, no charges have been filed. While the police try to figure out if the stabbing was self-defense, Suttles' injuries are not life-threatening, and he's recovering now. By the way, the Mullet Festival happens every October in Niceville, Florida. This year, $25 for a 3-day pass. Tens of thousands of people showed up, and Kenny Rogers performed.
Oh, boy.
If you go after Kenny, after going after Deborah, we're going to have words, man.
Well, I'm just thinking if the guys with the mullets want to hear what the 70-year-old gambler has to say. And by the way, the gambler's been gambling on plastic surgery, and it's been snake eyes. Because that guy's starting to look like a chick. And he's somewhere between, like, Dolly Parton and Colonel Sanders now, and it's a disaster. Country guys, Kenny, let me explain why you get into country music so you can be haggard.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the most the biggest one has the name Haggard in his name.
Yeah.
You get fat, you get a beard, you look like Charlie Daniels because you drank too much Jack Daniels, and you still get laid because you got a cowboy hat and a beard like Santa Claus and a gut with a penis as big as the panhandle, and no one gives a good crap. It's the greatest thing ever. See, what you don't want to do is you don't want to be a pop star because then you're just Leif Garrett. Hey, buddy, it's your 14th birthday. Give us that money back. You're out. What you do want to be is a country singer. You get as fat, bloated, hairy, old, and bald as you want. You just get a bigger cowboy hat and a bigger belt buckle, and you get more trim on the road. But what you don't do is become a country singer that's trying to look like George Hamilton. This is a disaster. He's going to get stoned at the Mullet Festival. And by the way, you know I always have this thing where I'm going to round up criminals and felons and deadbeat dads and guys that have skipped bail by just doing that thing that says free Raiders tickets and cockfighting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good, except for it doesn't get the blue-eyed troublemaker in.
Right.
He's not a Raiders fan. Mullet Festival, that'll be the sting to catch Whitey.
I want you to know, man, because you are on one of the world-famous rants, and you were right, I let the Leif Garrett reference go. Yes, you've been on a tear today.
Close to home, okay? Yeah. Sorry, buddy.
And there is the
you got all your hair. You're barely strung out on anything anymore.
And I friggin' hate Leif, and I've told him so 1,000 times.
I must say this about Leif Garrett. 350 Loveline MTV TV show episodes we taped, and the one time the producers came out and said to us at the first commercial break after the first interview segment with Leif Garrett, would you like to try it again? Really? I thought, well, we've got 349 under our belt without a problem. Leif Garrett comes in and we get the, would you like to try it again? I'm so committed to excellence that I said, no way. I want to go home. Let the crap speak for itself. But Leif Garrett was high as a kite. And there's two types of high on TV. There's Steve-O high. That's fun high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's Leif.
That's terrible. I did that movie Dickie Roberts with him.
Yes.
That's why every time, and I'm never here when David Spade calls in. That's how I know him from doing that movie. And Leif would just nod out at the table. And I'd be like, dude, you actually have a job here. This is a bunch of ex-child stars playing poker. This is funny. You could make me make a comeback. And he couldn't keep his eyes open. And he'd get flown over.
I was just thinking about the poor Kenny Rogers. Like, this guy was probably the biggest entertainer on the planet at one time. Seriously,
yeah.
If you took 1 year and you took 1986, I'll bet you Kenny Rogers, laugh all you want, Kenny Rogers probably made more money that year than any other entertainer.
Absolutely.
And now his agent's calling up and he's like, hey, Bubby, hey, I got a couple dates for you. We got the Mullet Festival and then we want you to head down to Morongo. You got a casino to open. Good times, Bubby.
Would you say it's time to fold them?
I would say it's time to fold them.
Now,
that's right.
Want to take a guess at what Kenny Rogers makes a year right now?
Oh, it's sad,
around
I'm
that.
Sure.
I'm going to go with minimum of $15 million a year.
Yeah.
He's the Verona Valley Ranch guy.
Yeah.
No, but when he plays, he packs the place. He's so popular.
He does pack the Mullet Festival on a Saturday night in Niceville, Florida.
That'd be 25,000 people or whatever it was. They love that guy.
How about the Spice Girls worldwide reunion tour?
When's that starting?
Not soon enough for me.
Well, it's just about to kick off, but one of their new songs has been leaked. Would you like to hear? It's called...
No, she means someone took a leak on it.
Yes, I just want to hear a Spice
One of the
Girl
engineers
leak.
Heard it and just relieved himself on
it's
it.
It's called Headlines, Friendship Never Ends.
Captured that late 80s, early 90s sound. That's awesome.
Nobody actually sound like anybody, and it sounds like they're saying hairline.
I've got one more song for you. This one by Jackie Chan.
Yeah, baby.
Did you know he could sing?
I still don't know he can sing.
I had
he
no
idea.
He can't
talk. How can he sing?
That's what's weird. You will not believe what I'm about to play you. Rush Hour sensation Jackie Chan has recorded a song called We Are Ready. It's been officially endorsed as China's anthem to count down to next year's Beijing Olympics. Okay, here is Jackie Chan singing his sensation, We Are Ready. It's kind of a long build-up. I probably should have trimmed it.
I was going to mention that.
Have the Beijing Olympics started yet?
Last week. Track and field was great. It sounds good, right?
I'll translate.
Okay.
Look, I don't speak Spanish.
Round-eyed guy. Take your money. Take your women. We're working on a bomb to annihilate you right now. You're tall, but we're many. I'm going to headbutt you in the nuts. I'm going to take Uncle Sam and fold him like a bad lawn chair. It's a countdown to death, Whitey.
It's funny because an English language version is in the works. I understand those are the lyrics.
They got to change the name. I mean, I know Jackie, and no offense to anyone, but he cannot say the letter R.
We are ready.
He can't say we're ready. He can't.
Oh, wait a minute. Please have one of your infants enjoy another one of our lead-filled toys. By the way, what can't they put lead in over there?
They put it in everything.
Yes.
Bullets.
There's nothing that the lead is not into. All right. When is the Beijing? When does that start? The summer? The winter?
Yeah, when is
Where's
the Beijing
winter?
Olympics?
What's going on with the Olympics? It seems like I used to know when they were, and now they're spreading them all over the place.
Well, it used to be every 4 years. Now it's every two years. They rotate winter and summer. It's so
the summer starting this summer, Beijing.
Oh, eight. Yeah, so you can look forward to hearing much more of that Jackie Chan song and two other versions. One in English, and then one's going to be a We Are the World type of song.
You should cover some Kenny Rogers.
Again, I certainly don't mean to make any offense to anyone, but are we ready to hear the Chinese anthem right now with the recall sung this way? We are ready.
Oh.
Rimshot? I can't believe that didn't deserve it.
It's a bad call.
I'm Teresa Strasser. All
right, leave me hanging. Fine.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. Do you see CNN?
All right. Is this him and Dolly?
Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, we'll either do football picks or I'll make fun of my wife for asking my assistant to bring home one sandwich.
Oh.
I think I'll make fun of my wife.
But maybe the sandwich was just for you.
Oh, hell no. Hell no. We'll take a quick break.
This is what you woke me up for.
You're making fun of my wife next.
As the sperm flies on a sweaty, hot October night, old man Hef has a girl clean his pipes in the grotto.
In the grotto.
And his girlfriend cries. If there's one thing she don't need to do, it's end up with a handful of goo in the grotto.
In the grotto.
Hefner, don't you understand? The grotto is a filthy land. It's a steaming crockpot human fluid stew. Syphilis and leprosy. Crabs and hepatitis C. You never know what you will catch when you step inside that pool. As the water swirls, a sloppy drunk girl gets on her knees, and a horny young man gets a disease in the grotto.
In the grotto.
And his penis burns. He'll need Valtrex to get it right. The downstairs itch he got that night in the grotto.
In the grotto.
Yeah. Yes, that's where we'll be tonight, kiddies, rebroadcasting. Or I should say broadcasting for the first time tomorrow morning. We'll be there tonight at the Hefner Mansion. All right.
Very excited about
this. We were going to do our football picks, but my assistant Jay just informed me that my wife called and wanted to know if they made sandwiches in the building. I said, why does she need sandwiches? Someone's coming over for a play date. Oh, these play dates.
Yep.
Jesus Christ, did our parents dodge a bullet?
Yeah.
The play date hadn't been invented yet. Here's the play date. Here's a pop-up book. Go sit in the corner until you rot. That's the play date I had. Now I come home and it's a menagerie. Kids running everywhere. Mexican nannies chasing them all over the place. Another play date. By the way, what's the fear? My kid's never going to see another human being. What do you think? My kid's going to be 19, open the door, there'll be a guy standing there, and he'll go, oh, my God, no, what is it?
Actually, yes, that's the fear.
I know. My fear is my kid's going to see too many people before
they get to high school. Isn't the fear that the mom will just get cooped up and lonely and bored and needs to see other adults?
I don't think so.
She's got TV for that.
I think Adam is not prepared or doesn't know this yet, but I can't make my children go outside. I can't get them to get away from their computers and their TVs and their video games. Go to your room and play with your TV or get outside and play right now in the sunshine. They believe they're being punished. They must have done something wrong to be forced to leave their rooms.
Well, my
Hopefully
wife,
that's what the play date is.
My wife has a play date scheduled for this afternoon. It's always nice to return to that. The problem is it's not a big play date. It's just another mommy. So she called my assistant Jay and said, how about you bring home some sandwiches? And I said to Jay, well, who all's coming over? He said, just two people. I said, well, how many sandwiches did she want? Two. Well, what were they? Turkey and cheese and ham and rye? I said, that's all the crap we have in our kitchen. Yeah. Well, tell her to make her own sandwich. And what happened? What happened to women of this society where they would rather have Jay go to the crappy kitchen that's below us, get some guy who swam across the border to put together an inferior sandwich, and then schlep it in his disease-riddled Toyota or whatever the hell he's driving, his Jetta, back there, when you can make your own sandwich in your own kitchen? And what has happened that women are now admitting they can't even make a sandwich? Two sandwiches. There used to be a certain pride. I made that myself. Yeah. Remember that?
Dude, I could not be more with you. And it's not, this is not a rich man, poor man. You would think it is, right?
Yeah.
Somebody makes, no, it's not. One of Amy's promises to me was to show me that she has this fine life that she was very proud of and lives on 20 G's a year. Has that new car, has the roll down windows, but she has a new car and an apartment. And she was going to teach me, now that I have half the money I did yesterday, how to live economically. Well, I don't keep food in my house because I eat like a beast.
Oh, she I have a bunch of cold cuts that are rotting if you want them because everyone sends out for food. My wife goes shopping, fills the refrigerator, and then takes out for Chinese for the next 10 weeks, and everything just goes to penicillin.
Okay, the substitute teacher hits the internet and has food delivered. She'll get other stuff for the house, but it's to surround and disguise the one sandwich she wants.
Mm. I'm just saying, we have now slipped so far into this pot of perdition known as society that women no longer make their own sandwiches and proudly say to the other woman, my husband's assistant brought this personally for you. Baby, if you're listening, get in the kitchen and start making and being. For Christ's sake, I'm not asking for a pot roast. Open the cold cuts drawer and make a sandwich for you and your friend.
I am so all about you on this.
I already bought you a sandwich. It's pieced out, but it's sandwich. I bought all the pieces, all the componentry of the sandwich. They're in that place that has the oven. That's has that thing
with the fire.
With the fire on it.
Box that opens.
The box that opens with the fire in it. It's called an oven. Open it up there. Spread a little Miracle Whip out for the Ace Man, and let me save my money and my assistant's time.
Remember Mr. Romance here? Girl said she always thought she'd have a home when she had a baby grand. Mm-hmm. So I surprised her yesterday with one, or the day before yesterday. A used one from Craigslist, but if a beautiful Wurlitzer, a couple of grand. I just realized we've never had dinner in that house.
Mm.
I bought a house. I'm living it with a girl I've been dating for months. I don't think we've ever eaten at home.
Well, I'm going to drop off everything that's rotting in my fridge, and you guys can
no.
eat right in front of the piano.
Yes, take Amy.
All right.
Take her to your house.
Done and done. We'll take
yeah,
a
other stuff. I'll
quick
that.
Break. Be back to wrap it up next. Well, just some time for some thanks where thanks are due. First off, Robert Schimmel.
Yeah.
Irvine Improv. Tonight through Sunday, watch the man who beat cancer to a bloody pulp.
Right on.
Tell his jokes. Two big shows on Friday night. Drawn Together tonight, 10:30, yeah. Comedy Central. One of the best, edgiest, no, the best, yeah. the edgiest animated show on television. You will watch it and go, I can't believe they put this S on TV.
I had no idea you had anything to do with that and saw it. This is the most brilliant thing I've ever seen.
It is an awesome show. Also, I'll be Saturday at the West Beach Music Festival in Santa Barbara. All you need to do is go to westbeachmusicfestival.com to find out how to get tickets.
I waited for you, man.
Dawson will be there. High as a kite. Teresa Strasser, TMZ tonight. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo. We got to start saving white babies.